Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to BTW, and we're going to drop some PvP knowledge on all you suckers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
My name is Jacob, aka Dino El Magico.
My name is Brad, aka WildcatDad17.
And today is December 6th, and we have a very, very special guest with us today for the show. He is the voice of your meta simplified every month. Mr. PvP Steve, how are you, sir?
First off, g'day, battlers. And, today I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Thank you. It's fun hearing you do it live up the videos.
It's a whole new plane of existence. The live g'day battlers. One day I'll start doing Twitch properly, maybe.
it's fine. You're doing it perfect. You're all right. So we've got a big show, especially since we got a news dump today with a new event that's going to be starting tomorrow, which will be, what, one day into it when this comes out? Yeah.
You mean it's already started for Steve, though? You didn't even think about that.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
It has.
I've seen some dragon stuff popping up.
Okay. Normally at this point we would do like, how's your week? But since we have a special guest, I just wanted to do, you know, a couple quick questions here. Just for some of our listeners are new to PvP, they may not know who you are, which is odd, but they may not. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself and like the start of your Pokemon journey and how you got involved with Sylph?
No worries. I mean, no one has to know who I am. I'm happy to just hang out in the shadows, in the deep. But as far as I guess it starts a little bit. I only started Pokemon Go in like September 2018, so I was very late to the party. I didn't have a phone that could run it back in 2016, so I missed the big hype. And so only like 3 months in, PvP first dropped in December, and then Sylph Arena came around in January, and so. There was one local tournament in my local area that I wanted to go to, but I missed. And then they were like, oh, well, let's host another one. And it was like, you know, 10 minutes from my house or something. So I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I may as well rock up, see what we're doing in this Boulder Cup. Ended up doing okay, pretty much only because I was up against some other people who were just as inexperienced as I am.
It was just a bunch of noobs.
Exactly. So one of us had to win. So I think I cheesed like a 2-1. And then I think that, I mean, I won a tournament the next month. So I was like, oh, this is all right. I can do this. And then it was like another 2 months later, it kept up doing okay. So I was like, oh, I could probably try doing that YouTube thing. That looks like fun. So I started recording some very shorty videos. It's still up on the channel. If you like sort videos by oldest, it is the lack of confidence. Just is so strong.
It's not what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, right.
it's painful to watch, but I leave it there just as a reminder that everyone can start somewhere. But yeah. I started making videos, and I think it was I was doing Meta Simplified videos like the next month, even though there was already like GamePress and stuff was already putting them out. I was just like, oh, that looks like fun, and opened up MS Paint, started drawing arrows all over the place. And I don't know, I guess it's just kind of go from there. I'm still enjoying it. The landscape's obviously changed over time. GBL exists now. There's a lot fewer Sylph Arena content creators out there, which is just been a benefit to me, really, because I've just got to fill the void a little bit.
There you go.
But, it's a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying doing it.
Honestly, the Meta Simplified and the Simplified Raid video or images, the ones where they're like chibi or kind of like looks like kids draw them, they're my two favorite graphics in this game.
The dodgy graphic ones are my absolute favorite. I think is it Ryan Swag that puts those out? He might do with the graphics from Flork of Cows, but they're the best. They rock.
Yeah. I love the arrows, the circle arrows. It's I try and figure it out before I watch your video. Like, I look at it, I'm like, let me see if I can figure this out without him having to tell me what it is. But I can't. So I just watch it.
I have to watch my own. I don't know anything. And until it's on paper, I don't know what's happening. Actually, that's why I started doing it in the first place, because I didn't know what was going on until I had an infographic. And I think there was one meta that GamePress was like a day late, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Please.
That's how we all are when like PV Poke went on vacation. Like, we're all like, what do we do?
why don't I have rankings? Why don't I need to figure out what I'm doing, and I don't want to do this myself.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you a question, because I always wonder this. So technically you get the meta, what do they give it to you like an hour before you have to like make your video, or like are they really like close knit with keeping it secret until, or do you get it like a day in advance so that you have time to prepare?
Yeah, so back in the day, I was making them with no extra time for, it must have been like a year and a half. I think it was until maybe season 3. I could be getting that completely wrong. But for a long time, I was just, whenever the meta dropped, I dropped whatever I was doing, and I spent the next 2 hours just drawing in MS Paint, going through the PV Poke stuff. But yeah, so now they took me on, and I get, it's about a day in advance that they give to some of the contributors out there. So I think that GamePress still gets that info, but I think they're mostly doing the GBL sort of thing now these days. But yeah, it's about a day, which helps a little bit. It spaces out a bit more time. Yeah. I can relax a little bit. I don't have to drop everything in a random 2 hours in the middle of a day. Because I know back before I was getting that, there were a few, the meta leaked every now and then. But I don't think I've really seen the meta leak at all, at least since I was getting it. So, I mean, maybe they were giving it to one group and then they change over to another. I don't know what's happened, but I don't know. It's a happy life.
they left sharing it to just one person. So then if it gets leaked, they know it's either internal or to you. So...
I was always like, oh, you could just like make one graphic, and if you sent it to like 3 different people, you just make a new file and you send it to each of the different people. And so if you see one graphic flying around, it's like, aha, that's got the little watermark that we only gave to Steve. Steve leaked it. Got him. But luckily, none of that sort of needed these days.
That's awesome. So like I said in the beginning of the show, there's a bunch of stuff, so let's go ahead and get the show started. We're going to jump over to our Sylph Arena news. Sylph Arena news. All right. So this is like your wheelhouse right now. So with this. So we have the Glacier Cup, right? Glacier? I'm saying that
Glacial?
Right? Glacial? Glacial?
I have to Google it.
Glacial?
Yeah. Glacial.
No, glacial? You're right. It's glacial. Yep. You're going to know real quick, we pronounce almost everything wrong in the show except for Wildcat.
I was going to say, who's that we you're talking to?
Yeah, that's it's actually part of like our show tagline, like in the bios, it says, and we pronounce every Pokemon's name wrong.
So do I.
Good. All right. Perfect. So the Glacial Cup started 6 days ago, the beginning of the month. And it's nice that they're bringing back like a normal Sylph meta opposed to like the slots and the point system like they did with like the Venture Cup and stuff like that. Do you prefer this type of meta over the other ones? Can you say that? Like, can you be like...
Yeah, I'm allowed to have whatever subjective opinions I want. Although this one is just correct in that typing metas are much easier to understand. I'm on team feeble brain. I don't know what's going on. please don't give me complex metas that have point systems and slot systems and every other system under the sun. Just give me something simple that I can fit in my brain, please.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly how we are. So we're right there on board with you. So I'll just go over the rules real quick. So we're 1500 CP cap. So your great league level Pokemon. We are going to have Dragon, Ice, Poison, Psychic, and Water types. The ban list, which I thought was crazy, like this is like a serious ban list here. Altaria, Azumarill, Jellicent, Swampert, Defense Deoxys, Wobbuffet, Cresselia, Medichan, Alolan Ninetales, Alolan Sandshrew, Lantern, Gardevoir, Toxicroak, and all your mega Pokemon. And are shadows banned on this one?
Shadows are in.
Their shadows are in. Fun to use.
Interesting. Obviously, I mean, Toxicroak, that one was kind of like when I saw the, like, what came out, I was like, oh man, Toxicroak is perfect. And then it was banned.
having counter is really overpowered in this cup. So if you look, what I noticed immediately, the only real counter user, I think, is Alakazam. And I don't know anyone that's going to run an Alakazam.
It was terrible.
Well, there's also Haxorus. You can use Haxorus if you get a Great League eligible one.
That's true.
Didn't think about that. True. Yeah.
Do you have one?
I have one Axew, and it is not small enough.
I think that's a general consensus amongst everyone. So, like we said, PV Poke, obviously with, you know, Thanksgiving and stuff, the rankings came out a little late. But your Meta Simplified came out. So explain to, because we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are new to Sylph, they're new to, you know, PvP in general. Could you maybe explain a little bit of what a Meta Simplified chart is and how you come about it?
No, yeah, absolutely. So it's essentially just a little bit of a little bit of a graphic where you've got like one group pointing to another group. So if you think like a really simple group of Pokemon, like you think just fire types, grass types, water types, like the starter Pokemon, a Meta Simplified infographic is basically just where you've got fire types and you've got an arrow towards the grass types, as in fire beats grass. You've got an arrow from the grass to the water, grass beats water, and then an arrow from the water to fire. It's kind of like those what's the food chain charts that I'm remembering from like high school science. It's like the arrows, this eats this, this eats this.
Yeah.
It's like that, but for Pokemon. So it's just about, I guess, condensing all of the eligible Pokemon in the meta into groups, I guess, a little bit. So I sort of see it as a bit of a starting point for team building, not like the be all end all. Like there's some really great team building guides. Like I know Go Stadium put one out just this week. But it's a bit of a starting point just to get your head in the sort of right space of, okay, so I'm probably going to need an ice type on my team in this cup sort of deal.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also really fun because one of the things when I first look at it, I look for the Pokemon that's not on the graphic that can beat most of the things on the graphic. So for example, Brawler Cup, Miami Doc was the one that figured this out, but we figured out Pidgeot, when you look at the graphic, beats nearly everything else out there. So it was a real fun one to go, oh, this is helpful. Now we know this is what most people are going to be using. Now we can bring in this other thing that no one's thinking of, and then it become popular because we started talking about it. But, you know, early on, we had an advantage.
Yeah, always do the early cut. So I think this time around, it was Barbarical that is really missing from my graphic this time around. It's a very strong Pokemon, and anyone who used it in like the first day of the cup seemed like they did pretty well.
Yeah. So according to PV Poke's rankings here, it comes in at number 5. The one that I've been using and kind of practicing with is Malamar. And if you've never used it, that thing is a lot of fun. With the Psycho Cut into Foul Play, it's so fast.
But Barbacool shuts it down so hard. It's fun.
I feel like that's like the only real hard counter to it, I guess.
Also, you know, he said Bibarel, not Barbacool earlier.
Is it
Bibarel is ranked 113?
Wait, did I didn't mean to say it. That's one Aussie accent, and two, going back to not being able to say any Pokemon correctly. Yep.
Okay, because I was sitting here Googling the barrel, and I'm like, oh, 133, how is this performing so well? This doesn't look like it would do well at all. That was very
not used the barrel.
Do not use it. That was, we'll edit that out, but we won't.
No, we...
we'll blame it on the internet.
Okay, now it makes more sense to me. Good. Okay, never mind.
So I see here, like I'm looking at your chart here, you've got Gyarados, Zweilous, and Wishcash kind of all lumped together there. What is that lump, for people who haven't watched the video, what is that lump, that group there?
So is it posed this time around, instead of just going pure typings, I mean, obviously there's like sort of, you can sort of see some sort of connection there. You can go like, oh, Gyarados and Wishcash are waters. Gyarados and Zweilous can both do like dragon stuff. This time I broke the meta down into sort of three main groups, which was ice types, because ice types are very much one of the most prominent typings in this meta. There's so many teams that I've seen running around with triple ice. Like there is just some really good ice type Pokemon, which is fitting because, you know, it's Glacial Cup. So we've got the ice types. We have the anti-ice types, and we have the anti-anti-ice types in a sort of similar to that fire, water, grass sort of scenario. So mm-hmm. You've got those ice types. You've got things like Abomasnow. You've got things like Lapras. And then you've got the anti-ice types. So you want things that can counter those big meta threats. So something like a Beedrill with Poison Jab can do pretty well up against that Abomasnow. You've got things like not Bibarel, but, you know, Barbarara that I'm not going to say wrong ever again.
Barbacool.
Okay, there you go. Barbacool. Barbacool. Okay.
There you go.
I've got it. I've got it for the next couple hours. I'll say it wrong as soon as we leave here.
That's fine. Scared me because I was like, did I miss Bibarel being good? Like, I looked at it early in the cup. I'm like, oh, God.
Never sleep on the beaver.
If it was good in this cup, you bet your ass it would be on my team.
Same, because I have a really high rank one that I like using.
If I can use it, I'll use it. It's just one of those Pokemon I always like to use if it's possible. So you have your side grades here, and I can say out of the five that you have here, there's two that I used, and one of them I'm actually surprised you have in here. And that's the Galarian Rapidash. And if you haven't used a Galarian Rapidash, besides it being extremely glassy, it is extremely spammy. So what made you put that in over here in the side grades?
Yeah, so when I'm putting these sort of things together, I'm very much looking at I'm doing the PV Poke custom rank builder thingamajiggy, take a look at what's sort of popping up. And Galarian Rapidash seemed like a sort of consistent Pokemon that sort of countered a lot of stuff. Obviously, there's things like, you know, there's some dragons running around. There's things like Zweilous. I think it's Zweilous. Yep. Please, Wildcat, you're my only hope. We're getting a thumbs up. You know, Zweilous gets pretty well countered because it's got that psychic fairy typing, which is kind of a weird one. But it kind of just seemed like it sort of fit. It didn't really fit into the core meta. I didn't see it fitting a role. I didn't see it similar to other Pokemon. It seemed kind of unique. And I guess, yeah, you've got that Psycho Cut that charges up Body Slams pretty fast. But it, as the meta sort of evolved, as people have sort of figured out teams, it has sort of seemed like it hasn't quite fit. I think it's because people have sort of gone towards the Pokemon, something like I mean, a lot of them sand slashes, just as a random example, that a Pokemon that it doesn't actually do that well against. So, the meta can obviously evolve as time goes on. Things change as new Pokemon are discovered, as new team compositions, new cores are found. And I think, unfortunately, Galarian Rapidash is one that I did actually see with some success, like in the very early practice tournaments, but it very quickly sort of just fell off the radar. So, I'm a little bit sad because I haven't got to use it properly, but maybe one day.
So one that Astro actually found and I put on my team that I really enjoy. What do you think about Quagsire versus Whiscash? Oh, man.
I was on the weekend. There was a Girls at PvP Glacial Cup tournament, and there was some Quagsire in action in that, I'm pretty sure. And it's a really interesting one. I actually don't think I've seen anyone run a Quagsire that didn't have Acid Spray. It's like, I've seen them all with Acid Spray, Earthquake. Now, Earthquake in this meta is like the move that you definitely want to have, because there's heaps of stuff that it hits. There's Poison Darks running around that are weak to ground. There's Steel types that are running around. It can kind of just hit a lot of things. You've also got a same type attack bonus, because Quagsire has that ground typing. But from what I've seen, and I haven't seen a lot of Quagsire, so, I'm sure the Wildcat is running a much more standard moveset, as would I if I'm running Quagsire. But even though Stone Edge would hit some good things like the ice types running around, like a Bombersnow, Acid Spray seems like a fun little gadget that people are deciding to throw around as something that I guess makes Earthquakes just hurt that much more. But I think I prefer Whiscash, just because Whiscash sort of seems like a bit of a spammier pick. I like the shield pressure. I like that you're really making people make some tough decisions. Plus, you've got that big things you can throw when you get in a really rough spot. It's nice to have that Blizzard just in case you're in that Zwalus matchup, you're about to go down, and just as the Hail Mary, as you're like jumping backwards over the cliff edge, you throw the Blizzard and take out the Zwalus in a beautiful finish. But that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I will say I've enjoyed it. I actually had a Whiscash versus Quagsire matchup tonight, and that was fun because I didn't realize it could tank a Blizzard so well. Like it was like, oh, that tickled. Here's two Earthquakes. Go back with it. Go away now. It was very fun. But yeah, it I could see where having the Acid Spray could give you a little bit more, easy access to baiting, because right now there's no such thing as a bait move. You're throwing a haymaker if you're throwing something.
Yeah. Quagsire wants to do damage, and it is going to try its best to do it.
So how often, this is something I always wonder, how often do you look at non-standard like core meta moves? For example, this is one that I'll give up that I'm running right now. So if you're paying me in the future, now you know. Barbacle, PV Poke says Fury Cutter, Cross Chop, Stone Edge. One of the things that I'm noticing is I've seen a lot of Mud Boys and a lot of water-based other Pokemon. I actually flip Stone Edge out for Grass Knot. Do you take those kind of, do you look into those possible move changes that actually make Pokemon a little better than what PV Poke's saying?
First off, Grass Knot is awesome, and I didn't even know that it had it. I literally built my Barbacle like a day ago after being like, all right, I'm ready to go. This is a necessary Pokemon in this meta. I really like it. I have not looked into the movesets, and that is really awesome. Because, I mean, on top of like triple ice teams that are running around, there's also triple water teams running around. You've got like Empoleon, Whiscash, third water type here, making big plays. But, and I actually think that I might be with you in that it could be the move to run.
Yeah, because
I guess with rock type too.
Yeah, because I think also you're looking at Stone Edge, you're really looking to use to hit the ice Pokemon is my opinion on it. And you got Cross Chop there for that. So why do you need two that's going to be super effective against that when you could pick up another grass move that isn't Abomasnow?
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I'm all on board. It is Grass Knot Train City in Steveville now. I'm with you also now. Anyone who plays me in the future, you know what moveset I'm running.
luckily, most of my tournaments will start before this this goes live.
But they'll still know what you're running when you play them.
Listen, everyone knows what I do. I'm very predictable. So in my practices, so there's two Pokemon on my team that, besides Quagsire, that really have kind of been like the core. One is Poliwrath, and then the other one is Gallade. And you would be surprised throwing the Gallade out. People forget that it has a grass move, and they just expect you to be throwing, what is it, close combat? So I've caught a couple people there, and it surprisingly does pretty well against most of the meta here. There's a few that, you know, if you get stuck up against like a Haunter or Gengar or something like that, or Mew can kind of, even though like the Shadow Claw is not too hard against it, but I've had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I ran Gallade for like the first four seasons of Go Battle League. It's a very fun one to sort of run around for that Leaf Blade close combat. And it was actually, I was literally looking at it a couple hours ago. I still don't have my like first solidified team. I've got like a team of five, which is a pretty just meta five. Name five meta Pokemon and you've probably got my team.
Right.
But I was kind of looking at Gallade as a sick. And it seems interesting because, I mean, as Wildcat was saying before, grass damage seems like something that can really do a lot of work in this meta, especially as I'm actually seeing more and more people use Barbicle. And it's really nice to have. And, you know, the confusion damage, obviously really big, hard hitting. I'm a big fan of, although Poliwrath I'm kind of interested by because I'm seeing hype build up in certain camps around, but I haven't quite been converted. I'm not on Poliwrath convert only because it feels awkward to have to get up to that dynamic punch. But please convince me as to why I need Poliwrath in my life.
So, the Mudshot and then Dynamic Punch, but I'm actually running mine with Scald over Ice Punch. And you go, wait, really? As I think Wildcat, when we practiced, you got hit with your Beedrill got hit with a Scald and it almost took it out.
It was not expected.
Yeah. It hits really hard. Plus you get that chance of debuff, which I love. So, but with the Mudshot, it actually gets to Dynamic Punch pretty quick. I think it's almost about the same as Scald, maybe like one Mudshot more. But having that fighting type helps it. But you still got to watch out for like anything that's, gets, you know, confusion or something like that. But like against Malamar, it actually, if you get in that matchup, because it builds up to that dynamic punch so quick, you're either going to bait the shield or you're going to hit it hard.
And I mean, I guess with the fighting type, you resist stuff like Crunch from Drapion, don't you? So it's,
yeah.
So yeah, that's actually, yeah, I'm not putting a Poliwrath on my team yet, but we're making moves. We're taking steps. But
practice with it. It's fun. That's, you know, I was talking with one of our Discord people, Mama Climbs, and she likes to throw in like some interesting teams, and we were practicing, and she was running, and I wish I got to see her use it. And I tried to use it, but I wasn't very good with it. She was running a Golduck, right? And then I was like, hold on, let me look at this thing. And do you remember what Golduck's moves are?
Psychic.
Okay.
Or confusion.
A million moves.
Cross chop.
Does it have cross chop?
It's got cross chop or brick break.
Cross chop.
And does it have synchronoise?
Yes. So it has so confusion or water gun for your fast move, then cross chop, synchronoise, ice beam, hydro pump, bubble beam, or psychic. That cross chop spam is insane. And then because it's just the water of a monotype, you really only have to watch out for electric and grass. Like it's pretty neutral, but it's going to resist ice, pretty much all the water, all the steel that's in there. So I used it. I wasn't very good with it, but it was fun. You know, you throw it out there and people don't realize what's going on until after like two confusions in, and then they're like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I actually I've been stocking up on Golducks over the past like year and a half, just because its moveset is so diverse. I've literally been going, okay, I don't want to have to go TM roulette every time I need a Golduck. And I've just been slowly building my Golduck army in the background with all sorts of movesets. There hasn't been a time to use it really before now, but maybe this is the time.
Maybe. Maybe this is the Pidgeot of this cup and we don't know it. So
my rank 12 Shadow Golduck may actually be worth something?
Probably, maybe. Because those confusions on the shadow, oof.
I also have an Ultra League rank 5 Golduck and a Great League rank 53 Shiny Golduck. Maybe I have to break one out for into the cycle tournament.
It's time.
It's time. So when these metas come out after you do your meta simplified, like, are you practicing against people like every single day? Or do you kind of just have like a group that you just say, okay, we're going to practice? Like, I practice with Wildcat like as much as possible. And then I'll go in the Discord and you know, play other people. But I feel more comfortable like just playing him directly and trying things out opposed to like someone else. Not that anyone in our Discord is going to make fun of me or anything like that. But
I make fun of you.
He's just a little more blunt with me. So like, I like that. I prefer that. So do you have like a group of people or like specific people that you practice with?
Yeah. For me, it's really changed over time. So at the sort of start of Silph Arena, I very much had like a few core people, mostly made up of locals that I was like, it's battle o'clock. And I guess as my YouTube channel sort of evolved, there was a long period of time where I was mostly doing videos based on my battles. So it was just like, all right, well, I want to do a video. And so I kind of need to do this in battle. So I just posted in like any Discord, like, hey, battle time. I know it's like a terrible time for all of the US and Europe in this moment, but hey, anyone in like the AFAC region who wants to battle, I just post in Go Stadium or something, finds anyone and everyone to battle. My content sort of shifted more towards tournaments and people who were actually better than me at the game. It's been a little bit more, I guess, choice people again. It sort of resulted in not necessarily for any particular reason. Like, pretty much towards the start of most cups, I'm doing some battles up against Sosaflo from Team Rocket Academy. Not inherently because, like, we need each other for the learning, but because hey, we both know we're keen for some battles, we can get some learning in, start to use some mons that may never be used again, and yeah, try and figure out what's going on in some capacity.
So speaking of Sosaflo, what, a month 2 months ago, you actually did shoutcasting for our Trainers Doing Good tournament, which was awesome. I was glad that they got you. But during that time, one of the matches was between Fish and Dino. And Dino pulled off this win. I think it was with his Meganium, like literally with one HP, and hit, I want to say it was a Frenzy Plant. And the words out of your mouth came, "This Dino is my favorite PvPer." Now, we took it and ran with it.
as is only fair.
As is only fair. When you're doing the shout casting, it's like live, right? You're not seeing it like a little before, so you're watching it as it's the same way like the people are watching it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure there's like a, you know, 2 second delay with how the internet goes, but yeah, it's very much live and seeing it for the first time sort of thing.
Yeah. I believe you actually stood up out of your seat when he did that.
Yes, so. He did.
that was awesome. So I'm sure we're going to do another one. So I think I'm going to mention to Ken over at Lured Up to make sure that you are our official shoutcaster for this.
I would be honored. Although the last time I did have a once in a lifetime rare internet kafoodle, and I just dropped out for the first third. I think it was like rounds 2 and 3. I just disappeared off the face of the planet. Yeah. So I'm not like that has literally never happened in anything else ever. I guess we'll just pray to the Australian internet lords that doesn't happen again.
Yep. So, but you got right back in right at the right time to let the world know that you stand behind our our man Dino here. So
all glory to BTW.
That's him and Wildcat. They're gonna take this show.
Don't put me on that pedestal. Come on now, you know better than that.
But so when you are doing these shoutcastings, are you like, you just dial it up to 11, don't you? for the most part.
See, well, it's hard to say. Like, I'm, as far as I'm concerned, like, I'm certainly feeling very natural. But it's certainly like internally, the hype is certainly turned up. I mean, again, if you compare it to that like first ever YouTube video, they're two different people that are rolling around looking at these battles. But I think that my hype has increased over time, but not intentionally, I don't think. But it's a lot of fun regardless.
So I was gonna say though, whenever you mentioned that, I was actually watching it live. Whenever you were shoutcasting, and I was literally laughing because I told Astro, and he was so excited whenever you said that. So I was dying because, like, I've never heard anyone say that, and I'm like, I always tell Astro I'm not that good. So when somebody said that, I'm like, yes, I got a fan.
I mean, obviously, I beat you today, so obviously you're not.
Yeah, that good. And then Wildcat just does that and then ruins my night.
Does that mean I have to pass the title over? Does Wildcat get to be the favorite battle?
No, I don't want that pressure on my hands.
It doesn't work like that.
I always tell Dino, like, I've been telling him since the start of the show, like, he's like that low-key legend that no one really knows about, and then when he does come out, it's just like you get smacked by, like, a truck when you play against him. So we've been trying to get this man on an esports team, if not create our own esports team, because he needs it. He needs to be out there.
He literally says that every single day. Like, if not, like, every hour, he's like, we need to get you. Like, he's like, I'm going to be your cheerleader come April next year.
Yep.
I believe.
Well, he throws me into the bus saying, get out of Dino's way.
So yeah, that's Glacier Cup for the most part. Is there anything else, Steve, that you wanted to add? Or
I actually wanted to ask Steve, what Pokemon do you think would be crucial? Like, it has to be on every single team, do you think?
I don't think it's so much one Pokemon in particular.
Okay.
But the sort of Whiscash role seems very much like the most important in this cup. So, like, whether it's Whiscash, whether it's Quagsire, even Gastrodon, as I just watched this morning, it was some battles. Ground in general seems like a really important thing. I guess because there are those, like, Drapions that are running around. There's things like Empoleon that can really run away with you with a bit of an energy advantage. Those Hydro Cannons and Drillpecks just come out so hot and heavy. Having something that can sort of do that big damage to it. This is where it gets to my opinion territory, and something that is spammy like Whiscash, they can really put that pressure back onto Empoleon, really stand toe to toe. To me, that's what I'm kind of looking at as the sort of star of the show, is where I'm starting with my team building at least.
Interesting. Good to know.
Nice. So like I said, that's Glacial Cup, you know, kind of in a nutshell, and we'll obviously talk about it more as the month goes on. And I'm sure there's going to be one Pokemon that no one's talking about that's just going to make its way up, like every cup does. So we in our Discord are running a gym leader tournament, and we're almost wrapped up with it, right? We're in the final round.
Final round, Robin. We have our top five that advanced into the final round. Out of group one, we had Miami Dock was group two with me. It was actually Dino advanced out of group one, and Lyle's Jeff. Out of group two, myself and Miami Dock. And group three was JDX and Matthew Breaker. So those types out of group one came water for Dino, poison for Lyle's. I was running psychic, Miami Dock running ghost. I don't like that very much. JDX running steel and Matthew Breaker running dark. As you can see, I'm going to have a minor issues in the final round here. But I picked up one win against Dino, so I'm good. I'm going to go 1-4 just to prove a point.
So, Steve, if I told you in one bracket of six trainers, three were going to be water, no, two water, two flying, one poison, and an electric, who do you think wins that bracket?
In general, I'm a big fan of the waters in these sorts of one type formats. It feels like water just has so much versatility. You've got the mud boys to be slinging stuff at the poisons. You've got the mud also to throw at the electric. And then flying was the other one, in which water, you've certainly got a little less play. You've still got things like, even all the mud boys. You've got blizzards on Whiscash, Stone Edge on Quagsire. What else can hit the skies from the water typing? You've got things like Lantern as well. They can just electric them up. Water is just so diverse that it's always my go-to. So go team water.
So I was running the electric team. And when I saw my bracket, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be fun. And my first battle was against Dino. And I don't think he really even needed to switch out of his Swampert. Like, I had no answer for it. There was nothing. And then my last battle was against one of the other water teams. It was Kittens and High Five. And he actually had led with Whiscash and then had Swampert in the back. And after Tia, I was just like, I'm not doing this. Take all three because I can't.
Yeah, so one of the things that I chose Psychic specifically because of Mew. Let's just put it out there. So going into my battle with Dino tonight, because in this particular format, between each opponent, you can TM all you need to TM. So I walked in running Mew with Grass Knot and Wild Charge. I had Cresselia with Grass Knot, Moon Blast, and then I had Thunder on Defense Deoxys with Psycho Cut, and Alolan Raichu running Grass Knot, Thunder Punch. I will admit, I specifically built my team just to make Dino angry. And unfortunately, Dino isn't able to defend himself again right now.
Yeah. That was the only reason, because I practiced against him. That was the only reason I put Alolan Raichu on my team, because I needed the grass move. And it doesn't matter. Like, it's just too glassy that it doesn't even get to the grass knot. it was bad news. It was bad news. So
Steve, what I hear is if you were building a team for this, you would go water as your type. Is that what we're confirming?
Yes, we can confirm. Water confirmed.
Nice.
Don't count me, please.
This is, like I said, this is our Discord, our monthly, meta that we do, cup that we do. We announce next month's, or this month's cup. It's this month.
Yes.
And it is, what is it called? Team Rocket Strikes Back.
Correct.
And I was psyched for it until I saw that I have maybe three viable shadow Pokemon for this tournament, because most of the ones that I had that are good are banned.
I haven't went through my list yet, but this is absolutely Seagull's baby that he put together. And it is a very well thought out. So at the high level, there is three slots of shadow Pokemon that you have to choose from, with an approved list and a banned list for each slot. Then there is could be shadow, but they're actually not. Two slots of that, and then one kind of wild card slot. And it is really fun, but I'm not even certain I'm going to be able to field a team looking at it right now.
That's where I'm at right now. I have a shadow Charizard. It still has frustration on it.
We just had an event. What did you do wrong?
I got it after the event, of course.
Okay,
fair just like enough. I got my rank one shadow Nidoqueen 24 hours after the event ended.
So I will go ahead and put out next month. We have decided, because it is an off-sylph month, that we are going to bring back the draft format. So we know that was really popular last summer. It's already been announced in the Discord, so we're going to let it ride. So once again, two rounds of banning. So think really spicy, especially if we can get up to that 25 to 30 number. You're banning 60 Pokemon possibly out of the gate, which means you might want to look at those bottom tiers that you have out there. So look forward to that in the Discord as well.
Yep. So, you know, if you're in the Discord, look for that. Steve, you're in the Discord. You should do the draft one with us since you don't have really anything to do in January.
I'm losing my home for a month.
You could do a meta simplified of the draft just so you don't get rusty.
it's like a crazy person who's lost everything, nothing to do, just drawing on. See, I can still do meta simplified. See, MS Paint still works.
That's awesome. All right. I think that kind of wraps up Sylph. Let's go ahead and move over to the in-game stuff because there's a lot going on and it's gonna take a bit. So so hang in there. Let's go over to our in-game news. It's the in-game Right. So, got a bunch of stuff that came out today. So we've got our research breakthrough. I think that came out earlier is Dino, which is awesome. Because my 7-year-old, every time he opens up his Pokemon, goes, "Hey daddy, look what I got." And he shows me this Wicked Witch of the West Dino, the shiny one. He got that at Go Fest. His first Pokemon he pressed. Well, no, his first one was Snorlax, shiny. Then 10 minutes later, shiny Dino.
I don't like your kid right now.
And he rubs it in my face all the time. That those two and his shiny Sableye that I still don't have. Right? Dude, I went so hard during that spotlight hour because I was in Disney. So, like, they're all over the place. Like, I was almost like, I thought my, like, gacha was going to, like, catch on fire. I think I caught enough that I got, like, almost 90 XL, candy XL.
That says a lot, because those rates were terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too.
They were really bad. Not a single one was shiny. Not a single one. It's crazy. So, so Dino will be in your research breakthroughs. So if you're very, very, very lucky, like my son, you'll get a shiny one that looks like the Wicked Witch of the West from the Wizard of Oz. It's probably one of my favorite shinies.
Are you ever tempted to just like trade it?
No. No, I wouldn't do that to him. I gotta give him something. So like he's starting to get into the PvP aspect of the game, and he comes up and he's like, "Daddy, let's battle." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." I was like, "You want me to like play nice, or do you want me to just play?" And he's like, No. I'm gonna use my strong Pokemon. So go for it." And I'm like, "Okay." And I beat him, and then he gets mad, and then he comes back. All right, let's do it again. And he keeps coming back, and he's getting a lot better. I think he is already, and he only plays on the weekends when I have him. I think he's already in rank 10 in GBL.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah, right? He's going to pass you. Watch out.
He is. He's very close. He just wants to get like the legendaries because we don't do a lot of raiding, so he wants. I'm going to help him out this year to 20, so at least he can catch a legendary every once in a while.
Nice.
So they're bringing. They also got the weekly 1 coin bundles that have the remote raid pass. I think last month I only got to buy one because I had so many I had so many remote raid passes because I didn't want to remote raid anything that was going on. I think just this week or last week was like the first one because I was doing the Reshram and Zekrom, trying to get those shinies, but that's about it. So those are in raids. Have you guys been raiding those or no?
I actually have, and you know I don't raid.
Is exactly. it because you haven't hit rank 20 yet?
What?
Is yeah, it because you it. Haven't he hit has... rank 20 yet?
I that's have, exactly actually. It. You guys have not checked the Discord, have you?
Oh, huh? I see. But I'm saying up to this point, you were raiding before you hit rank 20?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not gonna, I'm not going to be raiding no more.
Now he'll stop. Now he'll stop now. Steve, are you an active raider? Or are you like Dino where you only raid until you hit like a certain rank and then you're just... whatever get what I get.
I use that free pass from the shop, and that is the end of my raiding career.
I love it.
This time around, now I, as a result, I have a very small Hunter collection, and I have a very small shiny legendary collection. But this time, I did one Zekrom, and I did one Reshiram, and I now have the first one was shiny, second one was Hundo, and I was like, "All right, I'm good. I've won. I'm raiding out. Is easy."
This is easy. I can do this every month.
It's now, all now the I time. Get why people keep posting all these things up. It's just so easy. You just have to do one.
Do we know what the shiny rates are on the legendaries?
Approximately 1 in 20.
Okay,
it's fair so about.
If you get like if you get a full what's I think is 20 the max people you can have in a raid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you get 20 people, one of them is getting a shiny, essentially.
It's technically, but that's no. The rule. That's not how the rule. Odds actually work.
It's the rule. Someone has to get it.
I mean, I've already got them both, so I don't know. How you doing there, Astro?
No, not very good.
You know, I always end up getting it through GBL rewards. I've always like gotten every single legendary shiny through the GBL, and I just literally just post it in a raid group. After the people have done it, like 100 of them, and they haven't gotten a single one, and I'm like, one set, and I got this, so I'm out.
I remember back during Rayquaza, the first time it was released shiny, you know, wasn't GBL to get them, 84 Rayquaza raids to get that shiny. I got 3 hundos, 3 98s on the way to my first shiny. The next time it came back, I got a shiny the first 3 raids. I'm like, gotta be kidding me. Why?
That's how I was with the Regis. I got all of them except the one I wanted, which was Registeel. And when it came back, I sent them, I think I was sending you guys Registeel invites too when I was in Orlando.
Yeah.
And nothing.
I also believe I was promised a gift from Star Wars that I haven't received yet.
I still have one. I still have it.
He still has it. He keeps it for a year.
It's still there. I have gifts like from probably like 2 years ago still sitting in my or
that's
a year and
insane.
A half ago. I don't send gifts.
I know
I'm well does. Aware.
Yeah. That's why we accept those raid invites because like that's the only time we get any interaction with you.
Daniel, if this tells you how much I've battled Astro, we're actually best friends already.
That actually means
that it's not from gifts.
That's
it. You hit best friends and then you're done. You don't get nothing from me for the rest.
Wildcat definitely had this planned out because he knows that you don't send any gifts. So he's just practicing with you, but he's just trying to get best friends.
Right. Yeah. So we've got those until the 16th. Then the 16th through the 31st, we've got Kyrim. Kyrim.
What is Nyanic's fixation on Kyrim in December? Didn't we have Kyrim all month of December last year?
I think so.
Why?
Because it's
it looks like a tilted Christmas tree.
That's one way to look at it.
Because it's an ice dragon, maybe?
There's all kinds of other ice Pokemon out there.
But there's not ice dragons.
I would, at this point, prefer Articuno, I believe.
I just want them to put Delibird in raids. Just let me raid Delibirds.
Delibird's already spawning, at least. It's not tied to the Christmas event for once.
I have a 0-14-15.
I'm not.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I use it for a little cup once, and it was awesome. throwing, you know, chucking presents at people. But, and it has icy wind, so
it does. It's fun.
Just roll with
that
it.
Really grinds my gears, by the way, that you guys have got Delibird for the whole season and we didn't get Delibird in our winter. It's we've just what? Been totally scammed. Delibird is like one of my favorites. I want the shiny. I haven't got the shiny. And just because our winter isn't in Christmas season, we don't get Delibird. And that no. is lame.
That's so messed up.
I'm moving.
I'm moving.
Florida, come on. Florida's the place to be. We got the regional and everything coming up. So
on my way.
I think Fish is going to fly over for the regional.
Is he really?
Just do a stop over in New Zealand and bring back a bunch of Relicanth while you're on your way. That's the only requirement.
Yep, that's it.
I'll pay up.
So we got that. And then Mega Raids, we've got Steelix. Have you guys done any of those? No?
Nope.
Nope, nope. Heck it's no. cool looking. It's cool.
I kind of want to do it just to get enough to get at least two or three Mega Evolves out of it because it's the first Steel Mega we've had. So, and Steel Candy's hard to come by for a lot of these Pokemon typically.
Yeah.
But that requires doing raids that I don't want to do.
Exactly.
And the Mega Raids are like, if you don't have at least eight people, like you're not winning that.
Or Reyes to bring his insanely powered that's level true. 50 stuff.
That's true. So that's running. Steelix will be here till the 23rd. Then the 23rd through January 7th, we've got Abomasnow. And our raid hours, the 1st, which passed, 8th and 15th, are going to be Reshiram and Zekrom. And then the 22nd, 29th is Kyurem. So spotlight hours. When this comes out, we're already done with our first spotlight hour. So next one is Magmar, which I think is going to be like probably the most popular spotlight hour for this month. You think? No. Why not? Why not?
Tell them.
Why not?
Why would anyone bother with Magmar?
Because it's Magmar.
I mean, he's cool in the anime. Don't get me wrong, but.
You don't want a Magmortar?
No.
I have quite a few already.
You don't want a pink one?
I have a few of those too.
So the ones I like here, the 21st is Snover, 2x catch XP. And then the 28th, Cubchoo, 2x catch candy. I like Cubchoo because what is it? Bear tick? Actually, can have some play in certain like metas and certain cups. It's not too
You've
bad.
Actually used it before?
I have.
Oh, wow. I don't I even have. Know its moves.
It's in Great League. It's super glassy, but it's pretty good. Like when you get up into the Ultra League.
Interesting.
I mean, Bear Tick is one of those ones that is always like, oh, fairies have been banned in this meta, so we can't have charm. Aha, Bear Tick is allowed. Charm, 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 charm.
Oh, so yeah. I was going to say, I feel like he had charm.
It's another one of those.
Yep. I forgot about that. That's insane. That's actually cool.
Well, it also has Powder Snow. So you either got Powder Snow or Charm, and then you've got Ice Punch, Surf, and Play Rough. So
it's a poor man's Alolan Ninetales?
Yeah. Yeah, without the fairy typing, because it's I believe it's a mono ice. Yep,
yeah, it's mono ice.
And you've got a 94.6 defense at Great League level. So it's like, what, Gengar, Haunter?
Yeah, they're in that range.
Yeah, so, but the attack's at 134, and then you've got 129 stamina. So it's like an ice version of Haunter, I think.
Pretty close as far as stats go.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the spotlights. So community day, we got two community days like we did last December, which is awesome. 18th and 19th. We're gonna cover like that stuff a little closer, but I'm excited for it. Like I love this is my favorite community day of the year, I think.
Steve, do you actually get out and play community days, or is it a Passover event for you?
Certainly before the pandemic, I was out every single time. Now it's certainly been a bit more spotty, but I'm certainly planning on getting out for the December one, assuming old mate Omicron doesn't come out swinging. We usually have a bit more fun the December one, bit of a picnic sort of deal.
Nice.
So we'll see how we go.
Nice. Yeah. So we'll go over like what you need to be looking for and catching and stuff like that. Probably next week. Yeah. Next week's show.
It would have to be next week because the community day's right after that. You're welcome, Astro. Calendars are hard.
So when this show comes out, we've got a new event that they just announced today, right? It was today.
They announced it about an hour before it started in New Zealand? Literally like
something like that.
60 minutes right at.
So December 7th through the 12th is the Dragon Spiral Descent. I'm guessing that's from one of the games.
It is part of the Unova region. The Dragon Spiral Tower is where you find the featured Pokemon.
And not even going to try and pronounce this one. It's the blue and red dragon.
PvP Steve, come on, have at it for me.
We're giving it a go. Hang on. I don't have the name on the same. Got this. Okay. It is Druddigon.
He is correct. Druddigon? It is correct. Oh. Druddigon.
Yes. Success. I would have went Druddigon. Yeah, Druddigon. Yeah, okay. So it's making its debut. Have you caught one yet?
No, so I think it's not in the wild. So it's only in raids and research tasks.
And
the research task is win 3 raids. At least I haven't confirmed that personally, but that's what I've been told. So that's not very cool. I'll probably be getting one of those then, I guess, and we'll wait for it to be accessible in another capacity.
Yeah, because you're guaranteed one via special limited research.
Okay. That's right, yeah.
And then it says raids and research only, research only can be shiny? No?
Both can be shiny, but you might want to flop down to 0.6 real quick on the notes that got added while we were recording.
Okay. So, Niantic just came out, actually probably about 15, 20 minutes ago, with this. Trainers, shiny Druddigon, could not be encountered for approximately 4 hours following its release on December 7th. This issue has been resolved and is now available. We will be compensating affected players in the coming days. We apologize and appreciate your understanding. So jump on that, Steve, because technically you would be the one affected by this. There you go. There's your free one.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do for those that remote rated into it. If they're going to try to just do compensation for the people in the general area, or if they actually are going to look at who raided it.
Probably.
Because I've been sitting in the queue since 8 p.m. Eastern, and I'm, what am I? Number 3,795 still, so maybe I'll raid it tonight.
Okay. I mean, I would say it would probably just be for the people who did the research, because otherwise they're going to have to go through and try and figure out everyone's like the raids, like who's doing raids and what. I think it'd be easier to just go through the people who did the research and just do that. I'm not going to stop the recording. I'm going to let it go. Back. Okay. So we'll pick it back up in 3, 2, 1. So other wild spawns, we're going to get Vulpix, Seal, Dratini, Mareep, Sneasel, Trapinch. Okay. Buizel, right?
That's Blitzel.
Okay, Blitzel. I can't see the I's and the T's. I'm way off. Darumaka. Did it say which one?
Fire, I believe, in the image. Yes, fire.
Okay. And then rare spawns, Dragonair, Vibrava?
Vibrava.
Okay. And Dino. So that's cool. Dino will be in the wild. It will probably be incredibly impossible to find.
You're probably right.
At least all the normal ones are shiny, but this is a dragon event, right?
Yeah, that's what it says.
So Vulpix, Seal, Mareep, Sneasel, Blitzel, Darumaka's dragon Pokemon?
Dragons throw fire? Courtney? I don't know.
Mareep has a dragon mega evolution.
That is true.
I will say there's a little like part of the story portion of this that does explain the weird fire electric ice with it, but it's still weird to me.
Yeah, it's weird. I'll be catching Vulpix a lot because I have a Shadow Ninetales that I need to build.
For Ultra League? Or... okay.
I have one already built, and it is fun.
So moving on. in Tier 1 raids, Tynamo, Litwick, Cubchu, Golett, and Dino. Golett, I guess.
Not greatly eligible.
The candy. Candy purposes. It's not like they're all over the place. And not everybody has 600 rare candy in their bags.
I only have 525 currently. Thank you.
But it was over 600 until you built whatever this last thing you built was.
You're not wrong.
So in Tier 3 raids, well, according to our notes, it's Electrobuzz. Is that right? Electrobuzz, or is it Electabuzz?
It's a typo. Leave me alone.
Yes.
We got one.
We got one.
I don't know what you're talking about. It looks right on my screen.
Magmar, Lapras, Dragonite, and Drudigon. I don't know why that one's going to be so hard for me to say. Lapras for your Candy XL for Ultra League ones. Because they'll come in over 1500 from their raids, right? Yeah. So same thing with Dragonite. So for your XL candy.
At least with Dragonite, you're guaranteed 2 XL candy. Plus you can trade it and get a guaranteed extra one, which we'll possibly glance over later.
Why is it 2?
Second stage evolutions get 2 guaranteed. First stage evolutions get 1.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm sure we mentioned it on the show. I'm sure I said it, but I don't remember it. Seems like I'm never coming back on the show. These guys are idiots.
This is my exact level of game knowledge and professionalism.
Yes. I love it. There we go. So Tier 5, Reshiram, Zekrom, and Mega Steelix is the Mega one. We've got a special bundle with 3 remote passes and 100 for 185 coins.
75. That's another typo.
2?
We got 2.
You should. 2?
We got
2. Look, I added this stuff 20 minutes before we recorded. Give me a break here.
Excuses.
Right? I know.
Hey, I went out of my way to get you Dragagon stats so we could actually talk about it.
One more mess up and we're going to have a drinking game.
I like that.
I mean, we already have Astro Pronunciation drinking games.
We can't do that. People would be drunk listening to our show. Just here, they'd have to do like 6 shots just through the in-game news. There's research. It says research, Dratini, Sneasel, and the dragon thing and Dino. So those are
super rare research ones. Yeah.
Do we know what they are yet? Has anybody from
Steve just told you 2 seconds ago? Were you not listening?
Maybe I missed it. Did I miss it?
I'm so very offended. now I'm never coming back. I've already lost. I don't have the name immediately in front of me, so I'm going to go off memory. Dragonite?
Close enough, yeah, right there. Dragonite. Yeah.
Close enough. We're going with it. I'm pretty sure I've been told that one is win 3 raids.
Nice.
Not nice. Opposite of nice.
We don't raid here.
At least we don't raid. 3 cheap raid passes to get 1 extra Dragonite, so you can get 5 out of this event.
That's probably why they're giving you the 3 remote passes.
That's exactly why they're doing it. And not giving you. They're just giving you. They're letting you buy them for
Well, they're letting you
off.
Buy 3.
That's so nice of them.
I know, right? It's so nice. So we have stats on this thing.
We do. So in the Great League, first off, if you're going to run this in the Great League, getting it from a raid will not work unless you trade it and reroll the stats way down. So keep that in mind. It maxes level 20. You would need a 7, 15, 12, I want to say, or something of that nature. So you got to definitely get lower stats there. Great League, it has a 131 attack, 110 defense, 117 stamina. PvP Steve, what do you think of those stats? Do you think it's going to be viable with those stats?
I am not good enough at stats. I wait for the comparison. Okay, it's as bulky as Gengar. Got it in my head.
It's bulkier than Gengar. It's bulkier than Gengar.
Thank you. Someone is on my level here. I don't feel. Thank you, Steve. You're going to be on the show all the time now.
I'll ask Dino, because Dino knows what I'm talking about, at least. Dino, what do you think about those stats? You think this has play? We'll cover the moves in a minute, but I want to know, stat-wise, in my opinion, it does hold up a little bit. It's a little glassy.
Yeah, it definitely is a little.
It has enough, I think.
It's definitely a little glassy, but I do like the stats for it. It's, you know, not as glassy as, like, you know, Fracture? That has the same moves as it, mm-hmm. basically. And so that's why I kind of liked it. And I liked using Fracture. I think I used it for fun one time, and it was pretty spammy, you know, because, you know, the Dragon Tail got a buff. So I think it will be, you know, not meta-breaking at all, but it will be fun to use, and you just got to be careful with fairy Pokemon. That's basically it.
Yeah, so those moves that Daniel was referencing, Dragon Tail, Dragon Claw, Night Slash. This thing will eat.
Imagine if it's not going imagine up getting the boost. That thing, that's just gonna be like scary. I don't even want to be in that.
So I am running, actually, before this came out, I'm running my Fracture in Remix as my lead. It doesn't get to those moves as fast as you think it does. Yeah.
What doesn't it get in like three
or four? It should be
with the Dragon Tail. It may be three or four, but it, by the time you get to one of them, you're almost like,
oh yeah. Cause
that's because Fracture's super.
So you might actually enjoy using this Pokemon instead whenever you get it.
Yeah.
I would say if you go to PvP and Remix tomorrow, expect to see this pretty often.
Oh, I'm going to try and get one right away. I love dragons with these weird moves.
So with that move set and those stats, believe it or not, this thing actually against the total Great League meta. So we got to, you know, take that part with a grain of salt. Looking at a 71% win percentage. So it's not meta breaking, but it's meta viable, I would say. It's going to pick up 512 wins to 203 losses. And keep in mind, if it's even part fairy type, it loses immediately. It just walks off the field, removes itself from your phone. Done.
Yep. So yeah, that I'll be going after that pretty hard, because I love the card. It was always had such cool art, so now that it's in the game, like, I'm excited for it. So let's see. So we've got Pokemon Go Holiday Part 1 and Part 2 starting on the 16th and running through the 31st. When does the Part 1 end and the Part 2 begin?
No current details other than that information.
Normal. Good job.
Come out an hour before it starts, just like the last one.
Yeah. they give us a lot to go off of sometimes, you know? It's either like news diarrhea or news constipation. I think this is, you know, when people write those things where we're kind of funny. That was the kind of funny.
I don't know if we missed that last week, but you know.
So they put out the Season of Heritage stuff. So far, I mean, it looks kind of cool. I know they've like changed like aesthetics in the game, which I didn't really notice until like my kid pointed out that the eggs are different now.
They look like Yoshi eggs.
Yeah, they do. It's crazy. And then like all that stuff. But it looks like they're doing something with team leaders or just Blanche.
Per month, a different team leader will be featured.
So December is going to be Blanche. And it says to work alongside Blanche and Professor Willow to activate the first portion of the mysterious doors unlocking mechanism. Blanche has been able to decipher that it requires Stardust, of course, and the help of ice and ground type Pokemon to do so. And that's where we come in.
This already has more story than the entire last season of Mischief.
Yeah, which was terrible. So it says a monthly bonus of 2x Stardust for your first catch of the day. I think I sent you guys. Yeah, I did. I sent you guys a screenshot of my 7-day streak on a second stage evolution. It was like 10,000 Stardust. First catch of the day, 7-day streak.
Super jealous.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. And now I know it makes sense because it was 2x the Stardust. So that's going on now. You got your dino hats that I've been seeing everybody wearing. So I'm going to keep my veteran hat on as long as possible.
I actually prefer the Leon veteran hat.
Yeah, I like it too. So let's see. I don't know what all. There's a bunch of stuff. There's so much stuff in here. Trying to see if there's anything like really like we should highlight besides community. Oh, Johto Tour.
Did someone predict that?
No.
I may have. You know, mentioned that
maybe
a week and a half ago before we ever knew anything.
They kind of gave it away though when they went through the the Johto Cup,
the season. Yeah, when the season 10 stuff came out, I seen Johto Cup at the very end. I'm like, literally immediately messaged Asher. I'm like, we're getting Johto Tour.
Yeah, I remember that.
He's like, no, we're not. And I'm like, yeah, we are. Now, also, by the way, there's also a tie into Legends Arceus event. See the Sinnoh Cup? That's Legends mm-hmm. Arceus week.
Yep.
They make it too easy sometimes.
Right?
Put my Oracle hat on.
So now the Johto Tour is the 26th and 27th. Can you pre-order your tickets yet?
I believe that I'm putting on some details from Pokemoners. I believe that's going to be coming out tomorrow because Pokemoners tomorrow. Just found it in the code to be set to go live at, I think, 6 a.m. tomorrow. Now, with the... It's important to note the Dino hat and the Stardust Collection Challenge is free to all players. The next 2 months only unlock if you pre-purchase your Johto Tour ticket.
I mean, I'm going to buy it anyway, so I'm going to...
Yeah, I'm buying it. I'm going to buy it for my main and my alt account because you got to trade the version exclusives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So do you want to run through what January's leader is wanting us to do?
No,
we'll do that later.
We'll do it later.
Okay.
There's December. Oh, and it's Spark. I'll say it. We could do February because that's Candela.
So many people just got mad at me.
They're like, that's it. I'm done with this podcast.
I will say there is a very important bonus that Astro decided not to cover. The entire season, you are guaranteed an XL candy from every trade. So all those Vulpix that you need to build your Alolan Ninetales that you're catching to build, you can also trade them all and get extra candies.
Friendly odd friends.
If I only didn't delete all of them, transfer them all.
Well, now you have the dragon event to go catch Vulpix because it's the dragon type now.
Oh, there we go. Apparently, yes, it's a dragon type. There's also incense increase effectiveness while stationary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Cause I stationary at work 90% of my day. and then added increase incense effectiveness while moving. So yeah, that's a bunch of stuff. We'll kind of go over each one of those things as it gets closer to the event. So let's go ahead and because we've got a lot of questions. Let's go over to the GBL section and kind of just run through that real quick.
Fight!
All right. So before we get started, Steve, do you do just Sylph or do you do GBL as well?
For the most part, it's mostly Sylph. I'm not a hardcore GBLer, but I think starting from last season, as soon as they sort of announced that you need to hit Legend to get that early access to the Play Pokemon series, I was a little bit more like, oh, maybe I should be GBLing a little bit more. So I think I played up to veteran, and then I was like, ah. He's got time for that, but you know, I've hopped back in. I think I'm up to like rank 16 or something. I'll slowly get there.
Hopefully. Okay, all right. Dino's the opposite.
Yeah, completely the opposite.
He's GBL. This is the first time I've known Dino for what now, almost 2 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen him participate in anything Sylph related. So.
But it's also because of the Pokemon plays.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. So, yep. There we go. So, we got one more week of Great League and Great League Remix. And then on the 16th, we switch over to Ultra League and Ultra League Remix.
13th
and then
the Holiday for Cup. Ultra League, Ultra League Remix. 16th for Holiday Cup.
Okay. There we go. I'm a little more excited for Ultra League than most because that's where I hit Ventred in and my team still works. And I'm actually, I'm not doing as well in Great League as I normally do. It's like, it's crazy. How are you guys doing, Wildcat?
Not as well as I normally do. By this time, last two seasons, I've already had my Elo.
What rank are you?
I'm rank 19, just hit it.
Have you been playing all your sets?
So, yeah. I've had at least 15 wasted wins this season, like coming up literally one win short and then having to go through and win four. Yeah, that hurts so bad. But I also have been learning a brand new team this season. So I unfortunately had to retire my Drift Bloom because this new tree came around that just destroys everything. I've been running Pidgeot with G-Fisk. And Treviant in the back. That's what I've been running in open. I did today decide to hop over to Remix because I just wasn't having the success I wanted to see in open. And I started running Pidgeot lead, Shadow Drapion, and Treviant. And I went 12-3 with that team in my first three sets. So, and that got me up to rank 19. So I'll get my Elo tomorrow, but not nearly as good as I'm used to doing in the early Great League portion. Steve, how are you enjoying GBL Great League early season?
Yeah, well, this time I usually just kind of hop around, try a bunch of different teams. This time I was like, I'm going to become like I'm the most basic GBL user I can possibly become. And I was like, all right, YTX Pikachu with the data from Go Battle Log. What is the most common team that is being seen in Go Battle League? Okay, Venusaur, G-Fisk, and why am I blanking on the team that I've been using for the last week? Surely Daniel can recognize this team.
It could either be Sableye. It could be Sableye, yeah.
That's the one. But although I don't actually have a return Sableye built.
How's that
I've
going?
Been using a Power Gem one.
How's that going?
It's not the best, but it's actually.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's going all right. I mean, I think I went like 10-0 in the first two sets. So I was like, hey, this is like working. Who knew? You just have to run a basic meta team and you'll go far. But I mean, as I said before, I'm not playing all my sets every day. I think I've played like two sets in the last 3 days. But we'll try. We'll see what we can do.
Dino.
Yes.
Where are you at? You're gone. Did we lose you again?
Can you not hear me?
Dino, this whole episode, just in case people are like, where's Dino this episode? There's something going on with, I don't know if it's the hosting site that we use to record the stuff or it's his internet. But Dino has been popping in and out of our recording. And as soon as I asked him how his GBL week was going, he disappeared. So I've been running, for the past 4 days, a team that I got from the same person that gave me my Ultra League team, Home Slice Henry. And the reason I'm running it is because of one Pokemon. And that's Greninja. So the team is Golbat, Empoleon, and Greninja in the back. I went from rank 10 to 17 with that team.
Steve, was it you that put out a video when Greninja first got released? It's showing people just wiping the floor with Greninja. I believe it was one of your videos.
I take no credit. I don't even think I have a Greninja built.
But it wasn't you. Now. You were shoutcasting someone else's videos and you're just talking about how dominant it was. I believe that it was one of your videos.
That may be accurate in the early days. Did it like just get Hydrocan or something? Actually, we even had the comm day yet.
No, it was when it first released. It was like the first week it was out. And I'm like, okay, this. And then I tried to use it. And I'm like, I don't know what was happening in that video.
My videos are faked. It's not real. It's not real.
But pretend. I will say you have to know how to use it and when to use it. Otherwise, I mean, the entire team just falls apart. So if you are interested in that team, I'll put the link for the YouTube video. Really watch the entire thing because he explains what to do in certain situations. You get an electric lead, just pray that you can get off a night slash because your whole team is weak to electric. So if you see an Alolan Raichu, like just you probably just want to top left right away. But it's a lot of fun. You want to keep at least one shield for him because he is so glassy. But I've taken out probably 4 to 5 Trevians with Greninja.
Those night slashes hit hard. And if they don't get to 2 Grass Knots in time, or not in Grass Knots, but why am I blanking on Trevian's moves? Seed Bomb,
yeah. Yeah. It gets to those Night Slashes really quick with Bubble, and you can build up 2 by the time Trevian gets, 2 of theirs. And I think Greninja wins the tie against Trevian.
I mean, you're talking 2 glass cannons. That's a battle of glass for certain.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a lot of fun just hitting them with the night slashes. And for some reason, I feel like Greninja gets the boost more often than I've seen anyone else with night slash. And I run Obstagoon in Ultra League, and I very rarely get the boost on that. And Greninja, I feel like once a set, I'm getting the boost on it, which I guess is good. I don't know. So, yeah, that's the team I've been running. It's been a lot of fun. It stopped working today at 17, but I'm going to stick with it and see if I can keep going with it. If it falls flat on its face, I'll look for something else to run. Probably Dino's team,
that he's running, that he's been running in Great League for, what, three seasons?
Longer than that.
Two seasons? Longer than that? So where are you in Great League right now?
I just got my ELO today.
Okay. We'll get back to Gino when he comes. Good, huh?
You can't make that up.
If this was a visual thing, like, it's not as funny because you're only going to be listening to this, but like literally every time I've asked him a question, he just disappears. And then we're just kind of like, trying to figure out where to go next.
I can tell you where he's made it to. It's in the Discord. He put it out there.
Yep. And I know what team he's running. Yeah. So, Wildcat, tell us what rank he's at.
He hit rank 20 today, got his ELO. Also, he said he did not do as well early season as he expected to. He started at 2102 this season.
Not bad.
So still 2000 plus ELO. So you're auto ace there.
And that's with his Bastion Toxicroak Meganium.
Correct.
Yep. I've run that team once. You have to know how to use it to make it work. But it's a lot of fun. It's fun. And he loves that Meganium, like Steve knows. He's seen that Meganium do work. So, oh, yeah. So Ultra League, come the 13th. So what is that, next Monday?
Yes, Monday. Yep. You got a few next more days Monday. To hit your rank this season.
I know. I need to get my ELO before there, because hopefully I'll make a nice push in Ultra League. I'll probably be running the same team, my triple dark team that I got from Home Slice Henry, because it still worked. It worked the second time towards the end of last season. So I'll just kind of stick with that. I don't see any big changes in the meta as far as Ultra League goes this season.
Open Ultra hasn't changed at all. Like I said, Drogon may have a little effect on it, but to be frankly honest, it's just not going to win enough of the matches that are out there. Yeah. Cresselia would really cause some issues for it.
Steve, do you even venture into anything outside of Great League? Because, I mean, you're a Sylph guy, so...
Yeah, as soon as Sylph starts forcing me to play in Ultra and Master League, then I might learn a few more things. I for the first like four seasons, I was running like an Ultra team of like a Roserade, Giratina, the wrong one, and Togekiss. No one ever uses it. Back then it didn't have Bullet Seed yet, and I was just like Razor Leaf, Razor Leaf, Razor Leaf, and it has Dazzling Gleam. So whenever it landed a Dazzling Gleam on an unsuspecting Giratina, it was like, oh, hey, we're doing something. But that's long, long gone as far as a viable strategy. But I gave it another go in this season just gone, but it didn't go well. So I might leave Ultra alone. Master, the level 40 version of Master League that I'm allowed to use legendaries, I do okay. Okay. So I still play that.
Doing okay is better than this podcast in that realm.
we almost sit out. If there wasn't a specialty cup, we'd have no content to talk about that those 2 weeks.
So true.
So you brought up a good point, or an interesting point, when you said, you know, until Sylph starts making me learn Ultra League meta, is that something that Sylph is thinking about doing? About giving us Ultra League metas like in a monthly cup?
Yeah. So I saw some chatter about it in one of the channels when someone was asking the Sylph Arena people, but it seems like it's something that they're open to, like they'd be open to having a monthly meta be an Ultra League meta, but it's a little bit of it would have to make sense, and like the majority of people would have to be on board. So they don't want to just like ice out 90% of the Sylph user base by throwing an Ultra one in. So it might kind of wait and see how, like, you know, for example, if Play Pokemon decided to have a bunch of stuff in the Ultra League, and Ultra League becomes this like behemoth of a thing that everyone's sort of doing, then I would think it would be more likely that Sylph sort of gets into that as well for the more monthly cups. But as is, I think that it's probably for the meantime found a home in Sylph factions, where they do have the sort of Ultra League specialist there. And I think that, I mean, they did run a poll somewhat recently whether the Ultra League specialists were keen on getting like a custom meta in Ultra League. And it seemed, from memory, I think it was a little bit divided. So I think that they are probably going to test the space a little bit with Ultra League metas in factions, and then I guess we'll see from there if they crawl their way into forcing me to play.
Why would you ever put that out there in the universe that Pokemon plays could force Ultra League? Don't do that to us.
I'd be ready. Let's go.
Edit it out. Get it out of here.
Get it out. We don't edit. It just goes. It's live. Whatever happens.
That was
happens.
Like when I casually said in the closing of a segment, "Oh yeah, Sheik could have a community today," and we're like, "Don't say that. They'll never do it." 2 weeks later, Sheik community day was announced. You've doomed us all. So you've doomed us all, Steve.
I'm sorry. Oh, this is my cluster there.
So, and then we've got the Holiday Cup. Wildcat, could you tell us what the Holiday Cup is?
I could. Give me 2 seconds to scroll back down. We went over it. Holiday, normal grass, electric, ice, flying, ghost.
Nice. So PV Poke has their rankings out for the Holiday Cup. And number one, finally, a meta or something that I can use my Pachirisu for. So that comes in at number one. Altaria 2, Snowy Cast Form, Magnezone, Graveler, Wigglytuff, Talonflame, Diggersby, Alolan Ninetales, and Dewgong in the top 10. And then number 11, one of Wildcat's favorite, Lantern.
I do love me some Lantern. It's a great core breaker.
It is. It is. I used it almost in every battle for the gym leader cup because it fit anything. Like against Flyer, it was good there. Against Water, at least it resisted a lot of the stuff that was getting thrown at. So Pachirisu, not everyone has one of those. So is there another? You've got one, Steve?
Nope, no, I do not. Okay. It's a sad day in Steve Land.
I'm excited to use it and see how well this actually does.
Think your replacement, if you're looking for something that's electric, is probably Alolan Graveler, and it actually picks up one of the wins that Pachirisu loses, which is Altaria.
That's interesting that it loses against Altaria. Is that just because it gets to the what is it?
I think it's the Dragon Breaths just add up too quickly. Pachirisu, even at XL, it's still it's bulkier, but it's not the bulkiest thing out there. And Dragon Breath, keep in mind, Altaria's only taking neutral damage from Pachirisu, so you're not getting that super effective hits for it being flying.
That's right. I forget about that.
Versus Alolan Graveler, you're going to throw those Rock Blasts and Stone Edges out there that would be super effective.
So Pachirisu will pick up the win against Obstagoon, where Graveler will lose against Obstagoon and Vigoroth. So it has its trade-offs, you know, using whatever. They're both pretty much, I would say, the same type of bulkiness. They're both pretty, like, depending on what's getting thrown at them, they can tank it or it just wipes them out.
I do think you're going to see a lot of Wigglytuff again. This is going to be a very Wigglytuff heavy turn or meta. So just be prepared.
So in this meta, what's a good counter for Wigglytuff?
Alolan Marowak is who I would be looking at typically. It's going to resist and be able to build up a little energy at the end and actually leave that battle with, honestly, almost a Shadow Bone ready to go. It won't have much left over at the very end, but it'll be close.
Will Marowak still be viable if you have Shadow Ball on it and not Shadow Bone?
Because you're relying on Bone Clubs to get rid of Wigglytuff anyways. So you're just going to be throwing a bigger nuke at the end.
Okay, good. Okay. Is there any, like, one in this rankings that you see that you're like, that one looks interesting?
I think Stunfisk is one that I may try to play around with a little bit. Plano, Unovian, Stunfisk, because you're going to have that Mud Bomb as well as your Discharge, so you're two really quickly charging moves. So I think it could be fun, especially if you start to see a lot of Talonflame, a lot of Marowak, a lot of Alolan Graveler. It has a chance to work its way into the meta.
Steve, will you be playing the Holiday Cup since it's kind of like a self-ish type meta?
Yeah, usually I'm hopping in on the Great League action when it's around, so I'll be holidaying it up.
Can we get a Holiday Cup simplified?
Now, I actually did one last year for the Holiday Cup, and so I was kind of like, oh, I could probably do an updated version. So, I mean, as long as I've got the time, Holiday Cup Meta Simplified version 2 coming to a YouTube channel near you.
And when it comes out, we'll let everybody know as well. So that's what we've got coming up. We're supposed to have Dino's Tip of the Week. We're going to try and do this.
Yeah, go ahead and play the music. Let's have it.
He doesn't get through it.
Let's just have it. Trust us.
All right, here we go. We're going. Right, you're on, Dino.
All right. Now, today we are talking about CMP. When two players use their charge moves at the same time, the game has got to figure out who gets to use their move first, and that is going to be giving them the charge move priority, or CMP. And this is obviously pretty important. I mean, how many times has your opponent got their charge move off, like right before yours, and then you have to burn an extra shield before you get your own charge move off? It's annoying. It loses so many games. It can definitely be pretty game-changing. So, I mean, right now, it has changed over time, but at the moment, CMP is given to the Pokemon that has the higher attack stat. They get to use their move first, and that's not just like your IVs, like the 0 to 15. So it's not just I have a 15 IV Torterra, so therefore I will always get the CMP tie. It is also dependent on the actual Pokemon stats itself. So something that's a bit more attack weighted, like a Tyranitar, is always going to get CMP over something like a bulky Pokemon, like a Bastiodon. When the IVs really come into play is when you have Pokemon that have similar stats, something like a Venusaur and a Frostlass have similar attack stats, or when you're in the mirror match, when you've got a Swampert versus Swampert, that's when your IVs are really going to sort of come into play. And it sort of makes it in a way that like IVs definitely matter, but they matter in more ways than just getting your high PvP rank Pokemon. So a rank 1 Swampert is going to have more HP, more defense, but you're generally going to lose CMP to all other Swampets. So when you get stuck in those mirror matches, you might end up losing those ones. So if you're anything like me and you just have a bunch of absolutely trash PvP ranked Pokemon, they do actually still have a benefit. So, you know, I guess the lesson learned there is you don't necessarily have to, I will only build Pokemon that are in the top 5 PvP ranks, because the lower ranks sometimes actually even better. I mean, I know there's videos from Swag Tips, does a lot of videos about how something like, for example, Noctowl, he did a Noctowl PvP IV deep dive in which he sort of showed that you kind of want a higher attack stat Noctowl just to hit bulk points, break points, that sort of thing as well. So don't get too tunnel vision with regard to PvP rankings. But I guess one aside also on CMP in general is that buffs and debuffs like Power Punch and Icy Wind don't have an effect on it, and neither does the Shadow Bonus as well. So the Shadow Bonus gives you that 20% attack buff, but it does not change the CMP thing at all. So it's just the plain old thingamajiggy. But I guess, I mean, with that said, I mean, how'd I do as a fill-in Dino?
I was going to say, Dino, your accent changed. I actually really enjoyed that because I never really kind of understood the CMP part. I did see a couple of Swag Tips videos about the, you know, certain IVs for certain Pokemon. Actually, my Great League Toxicroak, I think, is the opposite. It's like super low stamina and higher attack and defense. And it works out well.
My Mandibuzz is the same way. I absolutely built, I built the first Volibee I ever hatched. I rare candied it and built it immediately because I knew it was that meta changing. And I think it's a 15 attack Volibee or Mandibuzz now. And I love it because it wins the mirror match. If terrible as that mirror match is to play, and as much as I want to just go ahead and top lift because I don't have that kind of time in my life, but so you know. Bad. It wasn't as bad as Chansey v. Chansey in the Little Cup.
Ugh.
Oh, God, those were bad.
That sounds gross. So
hopefully never again.
So Yeah, so that was PvP Steve's tip of the week.
You're awesome. Welcome for us not telling you that was going to happen. I was aware of this a while back.
That was great. That was awesome. You guys planned that out, and I didn't know. So, I liked it. It was awesome. It caught me. You know what? That was the Steve moment when Meganium hit the frenzy plant. He just jumped up. Yep, that's what just happened.
I hope that means PvP Steve is now your favorite guest.
Yes.
We trade titles.
PvP Steve is my favorite guest. So
yes, success.
Fish is gonna get jealous.
Or PGR or any number of other guests we've.
Yeah. And look, we've got
I'm sorry. It is what it is. I've got the most E's in my name.
That's it.
There's nothing I can do, guys.
That's it. It's all about the E's. So speaking of guests, actually, before we get into the question and answer segment, we've got – so PvP Steve is the start of our December guest-a-thon, I guess. So we have Steve, obviously, this week. And then we have two other special guests. I'm not going to tell you who next week's guest is. But I will give you a hint that this person did something for our community that we all appreciate.
Nice hint. I like it.
Like that? There you go. So, and then, you know, we'll let you guys all know ahead of time, probably a couple days before if you're in our Discord, so you can ask questions for our special guest. So we've got quite a bit of questions. So let's go ahead and get started with that.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. Steve, did you get to look over these questions or is it all going to be like new?
I have given a brief look over some of them. Some of them will be fresh, hit me in the face.
Okay. All right. So first question comes from Fish on a Heater. And he writes, what are your in real life jobs? And if we lived in Detective Pikachu world, where Pokemon have jobs too, which Pokemon would be best suited to do your job? So let's start with Wildcat.
I am in software sales adjacent is what we'll call it. And I'm going to say Hypno because he should go be out there and mesmerizing and selling software without people knowing they're buying it. So Hypno.
Interesting. Okay. Steve.
Yeah. So I mean, I just posted on Twitter the other day. I just finished my chemical engineering degree. Woo woo. But I'm working in a research lab. So, I mean, I think that Alakazam's Pokedex entry is it's like smarter than a supercomputer. So, I mean, seems like a pretty decent candidate, I would say. Certainly take my job out.
Nice. So I work in PCB manufacturing and assembly as an engineer and I guess code writer and troubleshooter and et cetera.
Do you actually write like hardware code?
Not so much for certain customers, like one customer, like I do their coding, but it's like very basic stuff. So
I haven't written Verilog in so long and I don't want to ever do it again.
it's like my least favorite thing to do. It's me and my sister that run the company. We took over when my dad passed away. So I guess I would go with Porygon.
I was actually going to give you crap if you didn't say Porygon.
all three of the Porygon.
There's one other that could be better. Rotom.
Oh. But Porygon was made by computer.
True. But Rotom possesses all electronics.
That's true. That's true.
Seems like Rotom would have to be more actively involved. A lot more effort.
Yeah, there's too many of them to keep track of. I can handle three. So next question, or it's not so much, I guess it is a question, from Cinder Hayes, and this is a visual one, I guess, but the, I guess the new Dino Mask, when you turn your avatar around, you can see its eyes through the back of its head. So Cinder Hayes wants to know if that is creepy or is it creepy? Yes, it's creepy.
Case closed.
Done. So next question actually came in through email from Greninja Muffin. It says, hello, Dino, Wildcat, and Astro. I got a Shundo Reshiram yesterday. Any team ideas? I'm thinking it and Dialga or Excadrill, as it can really hit fairies, assuming Dragon Breath, Crunch, Draco Meteor. Is that the right moveset? So I'm assuming that's for Dialga, right? Or Reshiram?
That would be Reshiram.
Okay. So is that the right moveset? He says, thanks. And he did some tinkering on PP Poke, and he's thinking of running Dialga and Reshiram and Palkia in the back. It says, I think I'll run Reshiram with Overheat, as I already have Dialga with Draco Meteor. My question is, I have two Palkia, a 15-14-14 and a 14-15-15. Which should I build? Also, what movesets should I go with, Dragon Breath or Dragon Tail? And should I run Fire Blast or Draco Meteor? Maybe even Hydro Pump. I didn't know it had. I didn't know Palkia had all those moves.
I didn't either, and I would actually not run Palkia at all. I would, because at that point, your entire team loses to Dialga, and you absolutely want to build your 15 attack Dialga. That's rule number one. But Mewtwo would probably be a better fit for this team, because it's going to pick up Dialga. It'll pick up some fairy wins. It will actually play a lot better with this team that you're talking. If you want to run a double dragon, I think you would go an ABA line and lead with your Reshiram, with Mewtwo, and Dialga in the back. Now, keep in mind, I don't Master League, so I could be talking completely out my backside currently.
I mean, in theory, it sounds good. Dino, do you have any suggestions on this? I know it's Master League, but, I mean, just team comp-wise, does that make sense?
Yeah, no. I agree. I don't think I would run Palkia, like he was mentioning, but I'd say he has a pretty good idea for what he has right now. But I like he also mentioned that he has two of them. I always go with the one that has 15 attack. I know, even though like yes, has 15 defense and stamina, you want that for Master League for sure.
And for CMP ties,
exactly. I see what you did there.
So Steve, you said you dabble a little. You dabble a little in the Master League. Do you have any thoughts on the team comp or move selection?
Yeah, unfortunately, dabble is like the very big emphasized word there. I've quite literally run the exact same three in Master League since preseason, with like Melmetal, Groudon / Groudon, however you're supposed to say it, and then Dialga hanging out in the middle as well. But I mean, I was pretty anti-Palkia. Like it didn't seem like it was a good Pokemon. And then I watched people try it and they made YouTube videos on it. And they're like, yeah, I think it was actually Jay Devon who put out a video long ago that was like, I really want to make Palkia work, but it is just not working. But I mean, since then it's definitely become a bit more usable. But I mean, kind of as Wildcat was saying, it feels like it sort of makes you too weak to certain teams, certain team comps, when you put that alongside the other two with like a triple dragon lineup. So I'd probably be more inclined, this is without expert opinion, but Mewtwo sounds on the surface level that it does sort of fit a little bit better, definitely gives you a little bit more coverage and is less likely to get you in a just unwinnable matchup against another team of three where you're just like yeah, this is lost from the lead sort of thing. So I guess that's kind of where I'm sitting, but I'm definitely no expert.
The other one I could see is Ho-Ho would be another possible third for that set. Mm. Dialga, Ho-Ho, and Reshiram. Mm.
You guys are the smart ones. So, yeah, whatever they said. next question comes from Mosh Pit. Writes, what kind of phone do you use and how do you physically set it up? Like for me, I have a Samsung S21 Ultra, great phone, in a case with a pop socket. I find the pop socket to be an invaluable asset when playing Pokemon Go, as the additional points of contact make holding the phone less stressful on my hand and makes playing entirely one-handed possible, catching Pokemon PvP. I can get an excellent on a flying move, flying Pokemon, I'm assuming, with just his left thumb. That's impressive.
Like the PvP bubble thing.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That's what he's saying. Okay. There you go. So I'll start this one because I like this one a lot. So I had an iPhone up until 11, and then they did some type of update, and the frame rate drop was like incredibly annoying. I couldn't deal with it anymore. It was like playing the game in slow motion, and switched over to a Samsung S21 Ultra actually, and I refused to go back to iPhone. I just upgraded to the Pixel 6 Pro. And it is beautiful. That 120 megahertz refresh rate makes the game look almost like virtual reality. It's very smooth. And I agree 100% on the pop socket. I actually just went and bought a new one because I switched cases and I didn't have a pop socket for that one. And taking them off is a pain in the ass. I love it. Like, I don't care if people make fun of me for it. Like, I have it on there. It sits in my, well, in my car in the little pop socket holder. And it's, I agree, much easier on the hand, like, having it there. Anyone else?
Steve, what are you using? I'll let you go first.
Well, I mean, as I said before, I used to have a phone that couldn't even run Pogo. But these days, I've picked up an A52. So it's nothing special. It was like relatively like more on the sort of affordable end, but it runs pretty well, and I own a pop socket, but I've never attached it because I'm scared that I'm going to start holding it with one hand and then it's just going to fall out, and I do not have the built-up confidence that it is not just going to fall apart and lose a phone. It feels like one of those things that you stick it on and you never go back.
Yeah. So I'll give you, as a pop socket user, if you have a glass back phone, I would not suggest sticking the pop socket directly on that. Like my Pixel has a glass back, that thing falls off right away. But if it's like any regular phone or if it's in a case, you put it on there, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to get it off. So it lasts in driving. I think I drove to Orlando with Florida sun beaming down on it and nothing.
So. Right. So step one, I've got to get a case.
there you go. That's it.
Hey, at least you're part of the Android Master Race.
Oh, yes. Stop it.
Wildcat, what are you using?
So right now I have an LG V60. It's a little older at this point, and I'm super sad because LG announced last year that it was going to be their last year of making phones, and I have been an LG user since back at the G2, so very sad, but I will eventually go to the Pixel, so I'm not going to leave to go to that other brand of phone that Dino is going to talk about.
What it only took them a year and a half to get for them to fix the game for iPhone people.
I don't even keep up with that stuff. All I know is that I'm getting a phone this week, a new phone, and it's still an iPhone. But just because I stay with the trend. I don't know. I'm basic.
And that's what happens when you're on an iPhone.
That has nothing to do with it.
This is what happens when you have an iPhone. That
has nothing to do with it.
I know, but it's fun to blame it. I've been trying to get him to switch off of an iPhone for a long time.
A year?
But it is what it is. So next question comes from La Fleure. Can you please tell people about the native refresh rate toggle in the advanced settings? Yes, I will. Just learned about it and my mind is blown. You must be an iPhone user, La Fleure. Because if you weren't, your phone would be running like that normal. I've been playing without even knowing it existed. I think it was just on this recent update, right? Yeah. How long has this been there? Not very long. Though I've also noticed that when battling rocket grunts, there's no longer the valuable 2-second delay after switching and attacking. Did that happen with the update too, or is it because I turned the native refresh rates? It's not because of the refresh rates. I haven't done a rocket battle in like a week, so
it's rough now. If you're doing a team leader, they're actually hard again.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But they're reversing it. So they made the change. They with the same update that they introduced the native refresh rate setting. They also removed that 2-second delay whenever you switch or either charge move or whatever for the Team Go Rocket Leaders. And they made the change intentionally, and then they gathered feedback and everyone was kind of like, yeah, this is too hard now. Please revert. And so now they've got it on the known issues page and they're calling it a bug, even though...
And they have it resolved in the next update. It's already been resolved.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So
it'll all come back to normal soon.
So... Was that delay intentional to begin with, or was it a glitch that just kind of stuck with the game?
It was intentional, but okay. They have referred to it as a bug, which does not mean anything. I'm a little...
Welcome to the software world.
Why wouldn't you just say, we did it on purpose?
Yeah. Well, Ghost Stadium said it on their behalf. They were like, yeah, I think I respond. Someone in the Sylph League server was like, "Hey, it's on the known issues page." And then I said at Go Stadium, "Hey, it's on the known issues page. Cool." And they were like, "Oh yeah, they did it intentionally, but now they're changing it." Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it goes back to they threw it on the known issues page to not get dinged on failure to communicate changes again.
There you go. That makes sense.
Not that I'm wearing a tinfoil hat or anything.
I mean, I guess it's a change that could have been communicated beforehand as well. And then they would have got the feedback before making the change, but that's just me.
It's not like they have a history of making changes that they don't take feedback on.
They run by the, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission motto. We're going to do it, let you bitch about it, then we're going to say we're sorry. Instead of just being upfront and asking you what you like. So the native refresh rate and all that stuff was in this last update. iPhone users are finally getting to see what us Android people have been doing for months and months. Next question comes from Mama Climbs. She writes, what are some teams that you guys used to love running, but simply don't work anymore in open? And what is a Pokemon that you are hoping becomes a viable PvP Pokemon? Via like move update or whatever. So let's go with Steve. So what team did you love running but just doesn't work anymore?
Yes, I mentioned a little bit earlier that I was running Gallade for seasons at the start of GBL. And I had my team of Gallade, Galvantula, Hypno. Gallade and Galvantula just super, super spammy, super... Pretty squishy, and the Hypno is a bit of a bulky mon that also sort of keeps you guessing as far as what the moves were. And I had a great time running that team with Double Confusion, but unfortunately, Dark types have really risen up. I mean, I think Mandibuzz wasn't a thing back then. Now Mandibuzz is just rough.
Everywhere,
Dark types are everywhere. It's a sad day to be a Double Confusion team. So maybe one day it'll come back.
Maybe. Is there a Pokemon that you look at and you're just like, man, I want to use that Pokemon? Like, if it just had a better move?
Okay, well, it's not so much the moves, but as far as a Pokemon that I'm hoping becomes more viable in PvP, it is a Pokemon that I've wanted to build for a long time, but I'm still gathering up the resources, and that is Wailmer. Wailmer is like one of my top picks as a Pokemon in general. It's just sick as. I like how it bobs up and down with a huge grin on its face, and I'm just farming up the 296 XLs that I'm going to need to get the best ranked one. And it's like, it only has spice usage. It does not have legitimate competitive usage. And one day I hope it makes it. I mean, I guess if Water Gun Body Slam isn't going to get it there, I'm not sure what it needs to push it over the line, but we can hope.
Yep. Wildcat.
So my OG team that I used to run every season up until this season does not work at all anymore. And you'll quickly realize why when I go through the team, and longtime listeners know my Murder Balloon was my absolute favorite thing to use in PvP for the longest time. Drift Bloom was just really fun, and I loved Icy Wind. I also ran that with Medicham and Lantern. Unfortunately, there was this new thing that got released that literally beats all three of those almost without me being able to take it down itself. And that is Trevenant destroyed my team. And it's a good Pokemon. So now I still want to run a Ghost. I enjoy running Ghost. I don't have XL Sableye yet. I hopefully will soonish. So now I'm running the Trevenant with the other team that I mentioned earlier. So that is absolutely my team that just does not work anymore. As far as a viable, I wouldn't mind seeing Swoobat get a little play. I think it's a pretty decent design. I also think Ambipom would be a really cool one just because of its design.
Not bad, not bad. Dino, what do you have a team that you used to run and love, but it just doesn't work anymore?
Am I going to try right now to see if this works?
Let's do it.
To be honest, I think the teams that I've run, they still work. The Bastiodon team is actually kind of hard since Nidoqueen rose in the rankings. My Bastiodon team with Toxicroak and Meganium, so you already know Nidoqueen is so annoying against that. But I still run it. It's gotten me to Legends still a couple times, but I would say maybe that one has less play than it did before. The tree, like Wildcat mentions, it's still a little bit annoying. I don't think I really have one that just got like wrecked by like, you know, new Pokemons. And as far as, you know, Pokemons that I want maybe like to be more viable, I'm just trying to think of like Ash Pokemon, like, you know, Ash's Pokemon as always. I probably would say, I kind of wish Lucario had, more of play, but it's just because of its lack of his defense, right? That it doesn't really have much play more than the moves, because the moves are pretty good. I mean, I don't know what other moves he learns other than like Shadow Ball, because I know Power Punch is pretty good. I don't know if Wildcat probably knows. I know he knows like most of his moves.
I don't off the top of my head, but I can tell you in just a second.
Yeah, so I don't know if Steve knows this, but I actually like mostly all of Ash's Pokemon, and we even did an Ash Cup. And whenever it is Kanto Cup, I always tend to just use all, you know, I think Charizard, Snorlax, and Muk at one point. I really can't think of like any other ones I like to be more viable at the moment. But like I was saying, I think the one I like to use, maybe also Greninja, just because it doesn't have its move yet for Community Day.
Yeah. So you're looking at Close Combat, Flash Cannon, Aura Sphere. So all real nukish type moves.
I think it's Aura
Power Punch and Shadow Ball.
I think Aura Sphere. Like, I think it's probably what you think it's going to be like in the Community Day, probably.
It has it now.
Oh, it does? Then how come I don't even know why I don't use it? It's probably
it also has Bullet Punch.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think no one really uses that.
It doesn't, but it could be interesting with Bullet Punch.
Oh, against like fairies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's like what I'm thinking right now.
What do you think about Astro? I bet I know your pick for what you would make more viable.
Do you?
I'm assuming you're going to say Butterfree. I've heard about it way too often.
It is one of Ash's Pokemon, so
it would be. It's a close tie, but teams, I don't know if it doesn't work anymore. It's probably just teams that it's a team that I forgot what the rest of it was. but it was one of Caleb Peng's like old Lapras teams. It was Lapras with Skullbash. It was probably like right around the preseason or first or season one, I think, is when he came out with it.
For Ultra League or Great League?
For Great League.
I don't recall. I
remember the thumbnail. I don't remember the team.
Yeah. So I can't tell you if it works or not anymore.
It definitely had Lapras Venu, if I remember correctly. Was two of them.
Was Altaria in it? Or no? Maybe.
Maybe? I don't remember. But I think Venu was one of them.
Okay. Probably, yeah, because I would have had that Pokemon at the time. I probably wouldn't have had an Altaria. Because I had just started doing PvP. So if I remember what the rest of the team was, maybe I'll try it and see if it works. So the Pokemon that I would pick, it's a tie between Butterfree and Kangaskhan. I just always want to use Kangaskhan because it's so cool looking. Like, I just want to be able to use it and it not suck.
I actually used it on my alts early on because I just didn't have any real good built Pokemon. I had one that I hatched at 1498 and I'm like, zero Stardust for my alt. Perfect. It caught people off guard because it has such a diverse move pool already. It just does, it needs a better fast move. It's a fast move away.
Exactly. It's got great charge moves already. Like, it's got Power Up Punch, it's got Crunch, Brick Break, Stomp, I guess, Earthquake, Outrage. So it's got good moves. It's just Mud Slap and Low Kick for its fast moves.
Steve, do you enjoy getting to see Kangaskhan all over the place? Because I really wish it was available worldwide normally, because it's such a good one.
I'm telling you what, Kangaskhan is like a saint, a blessing when you see it, because it is such an easy Pokemon to hit an excellent throw on. It is quite possibly the easiest Pokemon on the entire planet to get an excellent throw on. And it is absolutely great. And it's everywhere. It's awesome.
Tauros would like to have a talk with you.
All right. We can do this.
Because it is also the easy of easy excellent throws.
Yeah. If it wasn't for...
I'm imagining Kangaskhan. It's got a bigger stocky build. I'm backing it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Steve on this one. Only because I don't remember catching it. I caught Tauros during...
Are you too far south for Tauros?
Yep.
Yeah,
we're too far south. Wow.
We don't see it.
We had it in an event recently, right?
Yeah, I don't remember, but all I know is that we have Heracross. That's it.
Yeah, we have Heracross everywhere. Yeah. I woke up and there was a Heracross as my house spawn.
Hey, my Disney trip gave me a really good Great League PvP IV Heracross, and it carried me to victory in the Lunar Cup. So, not going to complain.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like it's just one fast move away from being, because the stats aren't terrible on it. It's mono normal, so you only really have to worry about, you know, fighting is its only real weakness, plus it resists all the ghosts. So,
but can we give it something that's not counter or lick? Can we give another viable fast move that's not counter or lick to a normal type?
Mudshot?
I'd take Mudshot.
Because it runs Mud Slap already, so Mudshot. It looks like it could run a Mudshot. Like, maybe?
Makes Power Up Punch kind of sad when it's like, right? Adding nothing to the fast damage.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, counter would probably be like the move to put on it, but I don't know what other moves it learns. I just know it's awesome. It has a little Kangaskhan in its pouch, which is
awesome.
And
it's mega so much. It's so cool because the little Kangaskhan jumps out and, oh yeah. Oh, I need mega Kangaskhan in the game quickly. Also, it doesn't learn Mudshot.
It doesn't?
No.
Anything good on there?
Bite could actually make it a little more viable. I mean, it's not a great move, but it could do something to it. Fury Cutter.
I mean, it's better than...
Fury Cutter would change that. Yeah, I like that. It learns Incinerate. That's about it.
Whoa. Incinerate Genghis Khan with Power Punch. Coming soon.
Jesus.
I'm looking through here. It does Lombardi Slam. It learns all the elemental punches. Fast move, really. Incinerate Fury Cutter would be the ones I would be looking at. So no wonder they didn't give it a good move set originally, because those moves weren't in the game initially.
Probably. So maybe it's coming around.
Mega comes out with Fury Cutter, because I don't want to see it get Incinerate with Power Up Punch. I don't want to see that combination.
Be no good. So moving on, you're going to have to explain this one, Wildcat, because it doesn't look like a question. It looks like he's just responding to somebody.
No, that's what I wrote for his question, because he's a troll.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, so that you added that. Yep. So Siegel wants PvP Steve to just say different things in his Aussie accent, which he's been doing this whole episode. So
also he asked for our addresses, social security numbers, and birthdays, so he's a troll.
I'll send him through Siegel. No worries. Check your DMs.
Next one is from Lyles Jeff. When will we have the creator of the famous Siegel bot on the podcast, Siegel himself? And when I want to know why he deleted the app. So we kind of talked about this. There is going to be a day where Siegel will be on here, probably with some others. So it will happen at one point. Just hang in there. And I don't know why he deleted the game, because he's Siegel.
he deleted it after the initial Pokestop distance reversion, but that wasn't the primary reason. That there was other caveats going along with it at that time.
Gotcha. Next question from Miami Doc. Oh, this is for me. He wants to know, do I regret inviting him to join the Discord since he sweeps everything now? I think everything is...
He didn't win the draft tournament, first off, so that's already lies. He also snuck this in before he had to play the dark type trainer in the gym leader tournament when he's taking an auto ale. Like I think it's Matthew Breaker.
Yeah, Matthew
could literally bring Umbreon only and would still beat him. So yeah, he definitely snuck this one in before he took a loss, didn't he?
Probably. I don't regret inviting Miami Doc to the server. So, funny story. So, the reason Miami Doc got invited is I played Miami Doc in a tournament. I don't remember which cup it was, but it was my first and only sweep, and it was between me and him. If he won, he would have swept it. I win, I swept it. And my boy Quagsire came in and just wreaked havoc on his team. And I just every once in a while, just send him pictures of Quagsire, like moving around just to rub it in. But I like having people who are good in our Discord, because it makes everybody else try and be better. You know,
he's also willing to help everyone in the Discord, which is an important reason that he can be so good and gets away with being obnoxious sometimes. I mean, overconfident sometimes. We love you, Miami Doc. We're just giving you a hard time.
We love you. We love you. Next question comes from Artemis Dragon. He wants to know, what Pokemon would you all love to see get a community day in February? Cough, Lickitung. Steve?
Why February? Why not January? We get a come day in January. So it's the one that we want to get a community day, but not instantly.
We want to wait 2 months.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to wait 2 months to get?
Okay. Well, I kind of mentioned before, but I don't have the shiny yet, and a shiny Wailord would be pretty cool. So Thanos, whale me up, please. Thanks, Nani.
So I actually have a shiny Wailord.
I was pulling mine up as well.
I feel like everyone's got one except me. This sucks. I hate this game. I'm deleting the app now.
So funny story. I don't know if it's funny. It's just my normal everyday shit that I pull with these guys. I caught the rank one or rank two Wailord for Great League. And I send it to Wildcat and Dino. I send a screenshot and just say, is this viable for anything? And it took them probably about 10 minutes to answer back. And it was just no. There was no explanation, nothing. They just both wrote no. And then moved on with the conversation.
So PPP Steve, one of my locals will be so happy to hear you talk about Wailord in such great light, because he actually does run it here and there. He loves running spicy teams, and it's one of his favorites when people's like, it can't do anything. Oh, really? I just went 5-0 with it. And one of his favorite things to show off. And he keep my really good battler.
Yeah, I've run Wailord before. It's definitely a fun one to run. I had one that evolved like 1500, and I went, yes, easy, done. I'm in. The 400 candies to evolve. I think it's only like a 10K. It's a double move, so it's no brainer. And it's still a lot of fun. And it's huge on the screen, which is always funny to see.
Oh, it does that, like, where it goes up, like, real high, looking down, and then that your opponent's, like, real small compared to everything else. It's fun. That's what happens.
Zooming out of the battlefield.
Yeah. 66.7 defense.
How could something be so big have zero bulk on it?
Its stamina is 235.
That answers my question.
There it is. Blubber.
There it is. Hey, we like the blubber. So Wildcat, what is your?
I'm going to go ahead and say that this is probably going to end up being a Johto Pokemon. It's my guess because of the Johto tour that month. They also right now have more unreleased shinies for Johto than they did Kanto. So I could see them trying to get that number closer. And I actually have a decent one that I wouldn't mind seeing. Jumpluff Community Day. Hmm. It is a decent alternative if you don't have the Banana Bird. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what move you would give it to make it more viable than it already is. I think maybe something else, grass chain or something coverage move wise.
Better flying move.
Aerial Ace is okay-ish. Maybe something, maybe give it wing attack fast move. Something of that nature. But I do think that may be what they kind of do. And that would help get the Kanto Tour and Johto Tour unreleased numbers closer together.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'd like that or not, though. But I think that's the one that's the most likely, in my opinion.
Okay. Dino, what community day would you like to see in February? Not in January, but February.
Trying to think. So, I actually do like another Pokemon, and I'm going to go back to Ash's Pokemon again, that, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people like Fire Pokemon, and I like Infernape, and I've always liked it to be something, like, viable as well. With what it has right now, it's not that great, and it actually learns Power Up Punch, and imagine, like, having that, like, I don't think there's a fire Pokemon that's a fighter or you know, any fire Pokemon that has it with a power punch, right? Or am I mistaken? So I think that would be fun. It has like a bunch of potentially great moves, and I feel like it would be better than Blaziken, but it's not currently. So yeah, for me, I wish it would be this one. I don't think it will be anytime soon, but you know, Charizard has had, what, two community days now? So you never know.
Yeah, that is true. So I think the reason he said February and went with Lickitung is the pink red type thing.
That makes sense.
Just kind of putting a couple together there. But so keeping in his theme there, I would say I'd like to see... I just had it right here. I guess we can't get into like Delphox or what is it, Finnekin?
Not quite yet.
Yeah.
Well, you could.
I mean, we could. Yeah, that's true. Maybe Paris? Parasect? That'd be kind of fun. I like the bugs. I
was hoping you were going to say Voltorb, because I really want the blue Voltorb, but I don't have it still.
I already have one of those.
He's like, I'm being selfish. I don't want it.
Here it is. It is Camerupt. I've been pushing for this thing. Fire ground. It just needs a better fast move.
Give it Incinerate?
I think that would break the game. No. let's see. Does it learn Incinerate? Yes, no, maybe so.
I can't type checking. Come on. Give me a second.
Check. Well, its current moves, fast moves, are Ember and Rock Smash, and charge moves Overheat, Earth Power, Solar Beam, and Earthquake. So Earth Power is all right. Maybe we give it one of those, like, double move
It doesn't get Incinerate.
Does it get anything else good?
I'm looking. I just did a Control F, so I've got to now go back to the top of the list.
How does this learn Rock Smash? How does it learn a fighting move?
Nothing through level up that would be good. Let's look through the TMs. Yeah. Sorry, Astro.
Still?
Nothing. Damn. Nothing that would make it viable.
Damn. And the mega version of it is.
Well, does it have Ember already?
It has Ember.
That would be the only thing that could actually. That's the literal best possible.
What about charge move? Because it's got Overheat, Earth Power, Solar Beam, and Earthquake.
So it needs something that would be baity.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Slide.
There you go.
Rock Slide.
Yeah.
Maybe Fire Blast. That's not baity, but.
That's true. Well, I mean, if it's a community day, it would get.
That's about it. It don't have a lot of good moves.
Man, rest in peace, camera.
That sucks. I was just looking at it here on PV Poke, and I love that one of its traits is slow. It's just slow. But, I mean, that's what I would want. I love seeing that thing. I've always wanted to use it and make it work. It just doesn't. It's just slow. So next question from King Tom. He says, you already know what I'm going to ask. So this is directed probably towards Wildcat. And he wants to know, how about them Bearcats?
I want to know Steve's opinion on this first. He has no clue what this is in reference to, so I just want to hear what he says about it.
Well, you know, Bearcats was an abomination created in the science lab. We should have never combined bears and cats. It was an absolute wrong move. They're terrifying. They're destroying humanity, and we need to do anything we can to stop them. There you go, King Tom.
Which is what Alabama's going to do to them, unfortunately. See how that worked out there? You like how that went?
I like.
That's why
I like how it just came off the top of his head like nothing. Like, just boom.
No, in all actuality, college football, Steve, in the U.S. is a big thing. And King Tom is a very large college football fan, as I am. And his mascot for his college, the University of Cincinnati, is the Bearcats. They were the first non-major, you know, Power 5, the big conference teams, to ever make the playoff for college football. So he is on cloud nine. Unfortunately, they got ranked up against Alabama, who think of them as the New Zealand All Blacks of rugby. That's Alabama and New Zealand All Black. You can put them on the same pedestal there. I'm actually impressed I could pull that reference out of my head. Because I know, because New Zealand wins lots and lots of Rugby World Cups, if I remember correctly, or they used to at least.
To the best of my knowledge. For the record, I could guess that Bearcats was sport. However, I could not take a single stab at what sport that may be.
It's fencing.
Sure.
As with the New Zealand All Blacks.
Yeah. So next question comes from Graves. Writes, if you could handpick any three starters, keeping the traditional water, grass, fire theme, to make an all-star trio to choose from in a main series game, which three would you pick? So this isn't in Pokemon Go. This is in the main series game?
Yeah, main series game. Which means you can go eight generations now of starters to pick from.
Hmm.
I'll be honest. I'm a pretty basic fella. And I don't think that I'd pick anything that isn't already in Kanto. I feel like they're my basic all-star trio already. Like, there's almost a chance for Piplup to come to the table, but I just think Squirtle's superior.
Hmm.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm not choosing Charizard.
You're crazy.
Litten.
Boo.
Get out of here.
Litten, Grookey, Piplup.
Hmm.
A cat, a monkey, and a penguin. What more do you need in life?
I mean, look, everyone's allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. A dragon that's not a dragon?
It is when it mega evolves. What are you talking about?
Not until mega evolution became a thing. Until then, it was a dragon that wasn't a dragon.
And meanwhile, Gyarados still couldn't get his dragon typing.
I know, that sucks, man. Poor thing. I would go Charizard. So it would be Charmander, Chikorita, and Piplup, because I like Meganium.
I like that. Chikorita was absolutely on the list I had, but Grookey is just so cute. As it beats on the stick with a stick, and oh, it's so cute.
I'll give you that.
And then it grows up and plays the drums. I mean, come on.
It's crazy looking in the final evolution. It's crazy. It's probably one of the better designs for the starters. So I'll give you that. So next question comes from Uncle B-Stud. This is for PvP Steve. Can you rescue Battle Hero, a.k.a. Hero Venge, and do a collaborative Sylph video? Because don't every plays GBL. I miss that guy.
Not everyone plays.
Yeah, that's, yep. Not everyone plays GBL. And he also wants to know, what do you think of season 4 Sylph so far, and what is the what was your best finish in the previous seasons?
Okay, we'll go one at a time. So first off, Battle Hero. I think he's pretty well and truly retired on the proper video front, so don't expect to see any Battle Hero meta breakdown type things, but I don't know, maybe stay tuned for a little bit. As far as season 4 of Sylph, we sort of briefly touched on it a little bit earlier, but the cups like Brawler that are a bit more like slot based and like hard to team build, I love them in concept. I do not love them when having to build a team for them. So I kind of preferred the Sylph season 3 idea, where they had the first 3 months of Sylph being like more sort of beginner friendly. So they were more the basic typing theme metas. Whereas this time they started off with a sort of basic one, then they went straight to hardcore, and then they've gone back to the typing base now. It seemed like they were pretty receptive to feedback. Like, they got a lot of feedback on Twitter and Discord about how it seemed very complicated very early on. And I think it sounded like they really took that on board, at least going to this next one. So I'm not doing as well as I would have liked. I didn't get much practice in for Luna, had to jump straight into it. But for the most part, I'm ready. I'm open to what's to come. But as far as my best finish so far, it's a little bit unfortunate, because I peaked in season 1 when rankings were first released, which was like 4 months in, because it was during Kingdom Cup. So after the first months of Sylph, they released the global leaderboards, and I was at rank like, 200 or something. And I stayed doing pretty well through the season until Rainbow Cup came around. And Rainbow Cup, it was just a calamity of, I decided that because we had to pick our weighted cups before we started playing. So I picked my local in-person one. And for whatever reason, I also in that same tournament decided to go with an all water team in that Rainbow Cup, and I went 0-3, and my ranking dropped from like, the top couple hundred to like rank 2000. It was an absolute travesty, and I only recovered to like 1,500-ish by the end of the season. And that's about where I've been every season since. I've never been able to relive the glory of my days when I might've got an invite to Sylph Arena Showdown. So unfortunately, my focus has gone more towards the content creation side as opposed to actually getting better. But with GBL, with Play Pokemon coming up, I've been jumping back onto the skill bandwagon. So maybe Sylph Season 4 might be a better finish, or we can hope. But That's where I'm at least.
There we go. Next question. So Dino let us know that his three is Charmander, Froakie, and Rowlet.
Why? That's okay.
I forgot Rowlet. Rowlet's cute.
Rowlet's cute, and it's going to be this. It's going to be a starter in Pokemon Legends Arceus, and rumor has it will be getting a new final form.
Interesting.
It's grass fighting. Sorry for the spoilers.
We'll leave it there. Next question comes from Team Magma Tyler. He wants to know who is the most famous Australian besides you and Fish.
Oh, well, we all know that answer already. Like the most famous Australian across the entire country is Zoe Two Dots. Next question.
I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, we've got Hugh Jackman, Chris Hemsworth.
Olivia Newton-John.
Top picks.
You got Olivia Newton-John, yeah.
I know her. Grease. I don't know the rest of those guys. The one. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, don't need them. Just keep it Zoe Two Dots.
I like that. I like it. I keep it. That way I could say that we've talked to two of the three most famous people in Australia.
Mm-hmm. And both the two that come from Newcastle, by the way. So we're winning. Up nice. Newcastle.
Okay. I don't know where Newcastle is. I know where Sydney is.
It's where I live. That's all that matters.
There we go.
Let me see if I can check. Newcastle, I believe, is south. East Australia, or am I backwards?
Basically, right next to Sydney.
Okay, so it's actually more south north or northeast then.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's certainly on the. If you cut it in half along the horizontal, it's on the bottom half. But we're around.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And our last question comes from Hairless Potato. Writes, I think we can all agree that while the game isn't perfect, it's much more complete. It's much more of a complete package than it was at launch. Now having friends, PvP raids, etc. What feature would you like to introduce to the game in 2022? Steve?
I'm struggling straight away. I can't think of anything that I immediately need in the game. I mean, look, it's a bit of a sort of short feature, but I wouldn't mind an ability to sort of coordinate with people about friendship opening gifts. It would be nice to just have some sort of indicator in that regard to be like, hey, you can open whatever you want. I'm not going to lucky egg. That sort of very basic thing. And Dino has come in with the probably most popular answer, the probably correct answer in a global trading, which would probably be nice to see. Even if, like, you know, maybe lucky friends, or at the very least, just in certain events, like during GoFest, even if only with lucky friends, just some sort of, I don't think it should be a permanent feature, to be fair, but I think it would be nice to be it's something that they pull out every now and then as a bit of a celebration.
Yeah, I like that.
Dino says Steve is his voice, and I will second that. Steve said everything I needed to say. However, I do have something for Hairless Potato. Where's my misspelled words this time? Come on. I expected some level of misspelling here. If you've listened to the last two shows, you know the go there.
Is he misspelling them, or are we misspelling them?
We won the war. He's misspelling them.
All right. Checkmate. I agree with him. The game, as much as we complain about it at times, I mean, think about how it was like a couple years ago compared to it where it is now. It has improved. I still would like to see, obviously, because we're PvP, I would like to see more of that relevant, like how we have the rocket grunts. I would like to see them use that feature in gyms, because that would make me personally put a Pokemon in one of my in a gym and actually care which one I'm putting in there besides whatever I just caught recently, you know. But where, I mean, you have the feature that tells you that your Pokemon needs candy when it's in a gym, why can't they do, hey, your Pokemon's being attacked, swipe right to join the battle. And you go in and you do PvP against whoever's attacking your gym. I don't see why they couldn't do that.
Too unfair. Doonbug's never going to get Keechee out of a gym. We can't do it.
But then I actually have to put something into a gym, which requires effort still, that I don't care. If you're going to redo the gyms, you've got to also redo what you get from gyms.
Well, yes. Your rewards would be very similar to your GBL rewards. So every battle you win would be like the same, your same reward. So your first one you would get Stardust, second one you would get this, third one you would get,
okay, as it moves. I can get on board with that, because there was nothing worse than having my Slaking caught in a gym for 94 days and then not even getting, jeez, 50 coins, because I, something else got kicked out earlier that day and got 50 coins already.
That's terrible.
When you started that, I was like, oh no, you don't have access to Slaking for 94 days. That's a disaster. All of the raids, so, and PvP you could be doing.
That's so sad. I put Smeargle in every single in all of them just because it's Smeargle.
I don't even put that much effort. What you said earlier was whatever was recently caught is what goes into a gym. It's click gym button, click most recent caught, done.
Yeah. Because I have to do it quickly, because normally it's as I'm driving by a gym. And I click on the gym and wait till it pops up that says I'm close enough, and then boop, boop, you know. But I keep a Smeargle at a low CP so that it's right there. So that's it. That's all the questions, and 2 hours and almost three hours. We have a show.
That's a show.
Before we, you know, end the show though, Steve, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you, on YouTube or Twitter, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. All you have to do is type into Google BTW podcast and you'll find all my links right there. Just tune in whenever you have a moment, and yeah, see you there.
I will put the links for his YouTube channel and stuff like that in the show notes once he sends it to me, so I know what it is.
I'm not sending a thing. Don't listen to him.
You're not
only BTW. BTW for life. BTW till the day we die. BTW all the way. Woo!
Or you just type in Dino Mágico and just picture of Steve. thank you so much, Steve, for joining us for 3 hours out of your day to talk about nonsense for 3 hours.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
Was a great
it.
Time.
Awesome. It'll be the last time he comes on, because he'll be like, no, fuck this guy. I don't have 3 hours to waste with you.
Are you kidding? I barely got to speak to Dino. I have to come back.
I know. Dino is listening. So for everyone, he's listening and then sending us like basically text messages to say, you know, whatever he needs to say. And then Steve says it because Steve and Dino have now merged into one person.
We are one.
We are Groot.
It was a fun show. Thank you again, Steve, so much for joining us. Before we wrap up, I want to give a big thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the show, you can for as little as $1 a month, and that will gain you access to our Discord. We put the show, we put the links in the show notes for everything. Special thank you to our Coach Corners supporters, JD Mojo Jojo, Clifford Mert, Thanks Friends 673, Eastwood, Mama Climbs, Swartz. And newest member, Mosh Pit 37. Thank you all so much for that. Our Patreon producers, King Flip, Kittens and High Fives, King Tom, and Matthew Breaker. Our Discord admins, Reyes 683, Siegel, and Miami Doc. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at BTW PvP Podcast, on Twitch, Twitch.tv/ BTW PvP. You can email us at our new email address. That is info@btwpvp.com. We will have a website hopefully in the next couple of weeks, depending on how busy Ken is this month, because he's going to help us out with that. Links to our merch store, Patreon, and all of our friends over at Pallet Town PvP are in the show notes, and that's about it. So,
oh, I think we may stream Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about it originally. You agreed to it. Did you forget?
Did I?
Yeah. If you don't, Dino and I will.
We'll see.
It's still great league. We got to take a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
We got to get it done before Ultra and Master comes and we're locked out of playing for a while.
Yep. And next week also, there's going to be a bonus episode. I'm doing a talking shit with Ken from Lured Up. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk some Pokemon. We're going to talk music and a bunch of stuff. So if you guys have questions for Ken that you want me to ask him, you can go ahead and put those in the, I guess, in the question and answer section, and then just kind of mark it, you know, for talking shit so that I know. So yeah, that's it, right? Anything else? Steve, you don't have anything coming up that you need, you want to let everybody know about? Nothing?
Only stay tuned. There's two things I'm excited about, but I can't say yet. So coming soon. Okay. TBD.
Oh, interesting.
Dun, dun, dun.
I like that. Mysterious. I like that because he can't.
We are a fan of a good tease on this show.
Yes, we love it. So thank you all for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie954.
I'm WildcatDad17.
And I'm PvP Steve, and also the voice of Dino El Magico. And until next time, good luck and get good.
It's just funny seeing him pop in and then he's just smiling. He's like,
I wish I had more times to grab screen caps because at least this entire time he has smiled through everything.
Yeah.
I also wonder if we just let this go dead air for another 4 minutes, if Artemis would still listen to the full 3 hours.
I don't want to do that.
Don't do that.
But it is fun having Dino with an Australian accent on the
right?
Show.
Yeah. So.
I love that.
maybe Dino should go on one of your streams and talk as PvP Steve with a Hispanic accent.
We can coordinate. We'll do like he'll record something. I would like lip sync it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, do that.
Perfect. Perfect.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.